become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Richard, the ingestion engine is ready for testing. Have you seen Richard?
He's in there, having a little trouble with this personal ingestion engine.
Still? It's been an hour. He's got to get this done.
Oh, he's got his laptop in there, on top of his lamp.
Hey, Richard.
Don't talk to me while I'm in the bathroom, please.
Well, snap it off. We got
to
go.
I know. Just don't talk to me while I'm in here. It's weird. Oh, my God. Jared's been back from that island for a whole day, and he didn't get any toilet paper? Are you serious? Is Jared out there?
I thought you didn't want me to talk to you while you were in the bathroom. Make up your mind.
You know what? Just get away from the door, please.
Friday the pool cleaner comes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
And tomorrow is trash day, so make sure all the cans are out front.
Yes.
Now, you are under no circumstances to order any movie on demand, adult or otherwise.
Yes.
Okay. Has anything that I've just said confused you?
Yes.
God damn it!
To Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Have a seat, Tim. Twiglet?
Better not.
I was like you once. Blonde hair, scraggy little beard, childlike ears, full of beans and spunk. I let my principles get in the way sometimes. I punched a bloke in the face once for saying Hawk the Slayer was rubbish.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. But that's not the point, Tim. The point is, I was defending the fantasy genre with terminal intensity, when what I should have said is, Dad, you're right. Well, let's give Krull a try, and we'll discuss it later. The Phantom Menace was 18 months ago, Tim.
I know, Bilbo. Okay, just, it still hurts. You know, that kid wanted a Jar Jar doll.
Kids like Jar Jar.
Why?
What about the Ewoks? Hey? They were rubbish. You don't complain about them.
Yeah, but Jar Jar Binks makes the Ewoks look like fucking Shaft.
I've had enough, Tim.
But Bilbo...
Look, I know how you feel, right? I really do. But this can't go on.
What are you trying to say, Bilbo?
I'm going to have to let you go.
Phew! I thought you were going to fire me then. I was like... Phew! Look at that.
That's not how love works.
Excuse me, Les, but you definitely don't need to tell me how love works, okay? That's like telling Vin Diesel how to have a cool name.
You've never even dated someone for more than a month. Do you even know what love is?
Love is a battlefield. Love is a feeling, okay? And it burns. Love is a burning sensation that comes up from right around this area.
That's not what love is, Danny.
But whatever that is, you should go to a hospital.
Well, we've got just about a minute before we go to the news. I understand we have Tom from Fremont on line one. Go ahead, Tom.
I don't want to be squeezed into a minute. I will go on after the news.
Well, why don't you tell me your problem now, and then I can give you my reply when we come back.
No, I'll wait.
Very well. Ross, who else do we have?
We have Brian on a car phone.
Ah. Go ahead, Brian. I am listening.
For what? 30 seconds? I'll wait, too.
Yeah! Woohoo! Boom goes the dynamite! Hey, everyone! It's Friday! It's Friday the 13th. You know what's funny? I just realized this. Every single Friday the 13th, I just think in advance, I'll put Jason from Friday the 13th in the intro. Some clip of it, never remember. In the entire history of the span of the show, never remember. So I did it again. Best. It's a tradition. But I here, I'm the Jason. Hello. And I'm also here with PCZ Steven.
Hey.
Steven the pop culture zealot. Hello.
What's happening?
Hey-o. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hello, hello.
I mean, I'm so confused. It's either Steven on the show, no Bill, or Bill, no Steven, but it's all three of us now. Woohoo!
I'm good. No animals died, and I don't have any cookies to make, so I'm good.
That's good. Good. No cookies. But guys, it is so wonderful to be here in the heart of Mulberry, ready to talk about film, television, and pop culture. Everything is awesome. It's an exciting day, and I have to burp, so I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to hold it in. Is that possible, Stephen?
Don't hold it in. That's dangerous.
Will my eyes pop out or something?
Your lungs will explode.
Your eardrums will pop.
All right, I just did it kind of stealthily. So
wow, that was impressive.
You guys like that, huh? Only Baby the dog could hear it with her super dog hearing. She was like, huh?
It's like a dog whistle.
Well, guys, I want to talk about, let's talk about the Patreon campaign, Bill. How cool has it been? I launched it on Sunday night, and you just kind of watched it slowly grow. It's like planting a seed, and the tree is slowly growing.
It's a seedling right now. Hopefully we will progress to sapling once we go past 20 people.
Yes. Has it, at this point, are there any leaves on it? Is it one leaf?
I think we have buds.
We have buds, yes. And it's so exciting seeing the people who have become patrons, including Adam, who's listening right now. Thank you so much, Adam. That is so cool. And I want to thank Andy. You know what's funny is that Sunday night, I launched it Sunday night as I went to bed because I wanted to just be active on Monday morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that night, I see our first patron was Andy saying, hey, congratulations, and all that stuff. So I thought it was really cool just to get that one right before I went to bed, you know?
Seriously, Andy Sims has been such a supporter of our show. He's been there since the beginning. He kind of discovered us in a way, and he's been there through the tough times and the good times and the non times and
yeah, he was one of the first people, I've said this before, that I ever got feedback from.
Yeah,
and it was so funny. I've joked about this before that you and I were kind of trashing the film Domino, the Tony Scott film.
Yes.
It was like episode 9 or something of the show. And I got an email from Andy saying, hey, come on, Tony Scott isn't that bad. And we just started, he was like, I do a podcast too called Hollywood Saloon. And I was like, oh, cool. So I looked at it, and it was cool that like a podcaster was, you know, another person doing a show. And that's what's so cool really about like podcasting is when you hear from other podcasters, and it's, you know, it's basically a community. I know like in a way it's kind of a smaller community now. It seems like a lot of people have quit podcasting, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a good bit that have pod faded.
Yeah, that sinister word pod fading. And honestly,
I just think it's so stupid that I can't help but use it.
Well, yeah, I honestly was afraid we were, Bill, going to pod.
Really? Were we at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance and starting to?
Dude, if you look at the website, like February, that entire month we didn't even do a show. It was like
right.
we went a long, probably the longest we've ever gone without doing a show. And I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Does anyone even care? And I went through that kind of thing. But one thing that's great about Patreon, I know that people do want to hear the show. That's the coolest thing about it, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really is. I keep waiting for that one that we got a $20 pledge, and that's pretty fantastic.
Very generous. Very awesome.
Yeah, that's super generous.
I think every single one of them is generous.
It is, but I'm waiting for that 30, that one-time NIM movie mini.
Yeah, any movie you want us to do a NIM movie mini,
a Mooney mini of your choice,
Bill Porky's, Harry and the Hendersons,
anything. Honestly,
the Love Bug,
pick it,
Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yeah, the Iger Sanction. I'm just like trying to pull
Cloak and Dagger,
The Pit and the Pendulum. I don't know anything.
Young Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, God. Dude, I would love to do that.
You know, I was listening to that. I've been kind of slacking off on my picture posting of records on Instagram just because it's a pain in the ass. And I think of the last time I went to my favorite store in Columbus, Elizabeth Records, I picked up the score to Young Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
that thing is so freaking good.
Yeah, it is. That's an awesome movie. It's kind of sad that there weren't sequels to that, because they were setting it up.
I know.
There should have been.
I think we need to write it.
But one thing I wanted to talk about on the Patreon, if people check out our Patreon on patreon.com/landfill, there are a set of milestones on the left side. And Bill and I have done some talking. We wanted to add incentive to reach that first goal, which is $600. And that is, if we reach that first milestone, we will release a Star Wars Original Trilogy NIM Movie Mini Pack, which is basically we will cover all three films in NIM Movie Mini format. And you guys just saw that the Lethal Weapon one finally hit. And I hope everybody enjoys that, because we had a lot of fun doing it. But, Bill, how awesome... Steven, too, how awesome would it be to talk about Star Wars, all three movies?
Each one will end up being like 4 hours. because we can't talk about it enough. We'll get into the films, and then, of course, I'll digress and start talking about the books.
Yeah, I'll have to edit it all out. You know, do a special Bill, a director's cut.
Yeah, I think it would be a blast.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
All that.
That's a favorite part about Bill when we do the NIM movie minis, when we talk about when we first saw it. You know, kind of our personal experience with it and how we watched it in 16mm.
At the drive-in.
60mm.
16mm.
Oh, I was going to say, at Harry Knowles' house.
Yeah, yeah. We watched it on the carpet, you know. And we were
all creeped out by his dad's dirty fingernails.
We got our first... Oh, wow. Where am I going with this? But anyway, no, but I'm kidding, Bill. I know you love Star Wars.
Oh my God, I love Star Wars.
It would be just pure indulgence, but that's an incentive right there. If you guys want to hear that, help us get to that goal.
And we're talking to the people that didn't donate to us whenever we would do the holiday pack. We know you guys are out there. Right. We know how many downloaders we have.
There are
more of you out there. We can do some amazing things if you help us. And
magical, what is that line? Something wonderful.
Something wonderful.
2010.
If you build it, we will come. No, that doesn't sound
right. If you build it, we'll show up every Friday. How's that?
and maybe once in a while on a weekday.
Yeah, so... Hey, it's just like I said in the pitch. If you guys dig the show, for as little as a dollar, support the show if you want to, and it would be awesome. Later on in the show, we're going to thank the patrons we have, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a regular thing we do, and I'm really excited about it. I mean, super giddy.
Kind of like
week.
Romper Room.
Yeah. I need a magic mirror, Bill.
God, I would sit there every day when Romper Room was on and go, come on, say Bill. Say Billy. Come on. Do it.
Yeah, where's the... I see the J-Strom. Oh, yes. I see PCZ Steven and Mulberry Bell.
That's so specific.
You know what's kind of weird? I don't remember what that lady looked like, but I think when I was a little kid, I was like, she's kind of hot.
She's hot, yeah. I mean, she was very plain school teacher looking.
Yeah, she's kind of She's kind of hot, man.
She captivated our young imaginations.
Yeah. I remember when my daughter used to watch, like, PBS Kids. There's this lady who is, like, Miss Rosa. And she talks to little puppets. And, you know, my daughter's watching it. And I'm like, Miss Rosa's kind of hot. You know, you have to watch all these kid shows. But there's an adult woman, you know, and she's like,
yeah,
she's kind of hot, you know? All right.
Hey, Slim Goodbody. Wait, no.
Oh, what?
I'm sorry. I'm drunk. I have no idea. look at those innards.
Yeah, good times. Oh, Bill, and I also want to plug this week you and I and a special guest recorded an E3 show.
We did.
And that special guest was Emma, my daughter. And I thought she was fun on it. She had a lot
of fun. She was. I loved having her on it. It was you have to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't be vulgar.
Yes.
Or at least less vulgar.
Try not to be, yeah.
We had to be PG-13.
I remember last year on Spike, they show all the E3 presentation with, like, Microsoft and Sony.
Sure.
She watched those with me, and she got a real big kick out of it. And I said, Emma, it's time for those presentations. They're going to show all the games. She's like, all right. So she sat on the couch and watched all the things with me. And then when you and I were going to do the E3 show, I was like, you want to be on it? She was like, yeah. So
I thought that was genius. I loved it.
And it's funny. She goes, do you think there'll be a time where you retire and you don't do the show anymore? And I was like, man, probably. Yeah, eventually. She goes, can I take over the show? And I was like, yeah. I pass awesome. On the mantle. I just picture her like, this week on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, yeah, we need to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
She'll probably be older by then, talking about other things. But
no, she'll be talking about it still. Just like us.
That was pretty awesome, though, when she asked that. I was like, heck yes, you can take over. You got to find your own Mulberry person, Mulberry historian, and your own PCZ pop culture zealot. But it'll be awesome. The new generation, you know.
The next generation. Engage. Yes,
I also want to say congratulate my dad. He's been working on a sci-fi novel for the past 6 months or so, and he finished yesterday.
He the finished first draft?
The first draft, yes. And which I know
I got I got the first draft.
Yes.
But I haven't gotten around to reading it yet, so maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should wait for the first draft.
Yeah, that's the thing. He would send me, hey, read this chapter. And then I'd go, okay, and I'd start reading it. A couple of days later, he'd go, just throw that away. I totally rewrote that. And I was like, Dad, what are you doing? Are you doing the thing where you keep starting over and rereading it? He was like, yeah. And I go, you can't do that. You got to just keep going. Keep moving forward. After you're done with your first draft, then you go back and revise. Otherwise, you'll never finish. So he did finally finish it. I'm still working on my book, and he kicked my ass. He was writing regularly. All this Patreon stuff and working on the Lethal Weapon show, I totally lost my
And I was
groove.
Slacking on bugging you about it.
Yeah, but now I can get back into it. But congratulations, Dad. I also want to congratulate one of our listeners, Bill, Da Flying Squirrel, Rodney.
Oh,
he,
yeah?
He, Steven, you've met Rodney. We, like, went to a Stars game with him. Mm-hmm. And I think we even saw Serenity with him, like, years ago when that came out. He's engaged to be married.
Hey.
So congratulations to him.
Wow, nice job, Rodney.
Yeah, good.
Congratulations.
Good on you, man. That's pretty cool. Now, guys, we have some voicemail, and I want to go ahead and get to that, all right? Sound cool?
Cool.
All right.
Jeans.
Our first voicemail is Ross. Let's check it out.
Hey there, Nowhere in Mulberry guys or Entertainment Landfill guys. This is Ross from the Bay Area of California, otherwise known as Patron Ross from the Bay Area of California.
That's right.
I'm just calling to let you guys know how excited and how much support I'm giving you in your Patreon campaign. I was thinking about it the other day, and I've probably received from you guys over 1,800 hours of entertainment for free because I've listened to Mulberry Old School several times. And if that means that, you know, in my support, I should shell out a little bit of money every month, then so be it. I'm totally for it. The only knock I have is I wish we could have done it sooner, which I know is not your fault
true.
Because Patreon didn't exist during the Talk Radio X days. And I don't know if I would have supported it then, because I feel like some of the money probably would have gone to Antebert. But
probably all of it.
I think you guys deserve it. You do a great show. And frankly, it's the one thing that kept me entertained during a job that I absolutely hated. So that's it, guys. I just hope you receive all of the support that you deserve. And for me, I'm juiced because it means more and more Mulberry. So keep it up and just keep making the great content. And I know you guys will be rewarded for it. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Ross. That was awesome. Yeah, when I first discovered Patreon, I was like, what is this? And just reading about
this is magical.
This means something. This is awesome. And
what's wrong with my mashed potatoes?
You know, I kept we've never been like YouTube people, but Bill, you know, there's like YouTube stars out there, like people who make videos regularly, and we're making
there's
a living.
The one annoying guy. I shouldn't say that. The one PewDiePie I always see. It's like a gamer kind of craziness. And
right. Yeah. Well, a lot of those guys, they were making money until recently, not too long ago, Google changed a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they totally screwed everybody. A lot of people can't make any money unless they're getting like 100,000 views. And people who would get a lot less than that, like 10,000, were screwed. But in reality, your audience, the audience like we have, or the audience that a lot of those people have, what's great about Patreon is they're the only ones who matter. Mm-hmm. And that's the people you should talk to. And that's what's cool about Patreon. You should address them. You know, because for years we've like, I know that I've like, what can we do? And like, right. Do we place ads? Do we spend money? No, that's not going
to
work.
Then you started trying to do the special shows.
Mm-hmm, the packs, which it's fine, but it's not really a regular kind of thing.
Right.
That's why this is awesome. The idea of patrons have been around for hundreds of years, right? We're right there with, Da Vinci and all those guys. So it's pretty awesome. But anyway, thank you very much, Ross. I appreciate your patronage, right? That's
absolutely.
Now we have another voicemail. This one is Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill.
Hello.
It is Darren from Birmingham in the UK.
He's got a good mic.
I thought I should have leaved some feedback. It's been a while, but unfortunately, I'm a bit twatted. So I'm about to say may not make any sense to any person on this planet. Been to the Wolverhampton Beer Festival today. Actually, fully enjoyed episode 291, Maze Controller. Was it one of your most anarchic or unusual ones? The lack of the bill.
The bill.
Lack of the bill. I mean, the absence of the Morbi historian, Bill. Listen to this, and also the previous lunchtime experimental episode, it reinforced the feeling that I was listening to a couple of buddies talk about stuff that we all like. So I wish you the best of luck for your patron endeavour. I can see what resources can rustle up. Meanwhile, I'll try and spread the good word. I think we're all enjoying the traditional kind of way is Return 24, because it's not altered almost in one respect at all. Jack is still Whispery Jack.
Yeah, what is with
says,
that?
Chloe, you need to help me. Yeah, I can do bad impressions.
I can't
too.
Hear you, Jack.
But, you know, aside from that, you've got some quality TV out there. Game of Thrones is still delivering. And I'm about to binge watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of a S.H.I.E.L.D.
Asian.
As I've heard it's been pretty good, so I'm going to go back to start and pick up from there. Again, I think I'm going to fail to listen to you live tonight. It's been a long, good day. Probably the best way is I there in America at the same time. That would be the easiest way for me to listen to you live. Maybe one day that will happen. So, hope you have a good show, and I hope to listen to more of your shows. Cheerio.
Thank you, Darren. That was awesome.
Anybody across the pond that actually stays up when we're broadcasting live is to be commended.
Yeah.
Because they're, what, 5 hours ahead of us?
Yeah, that's like in the middle of the night. That would be cool if people did do that. Like, I'm going to stay up and listen to those guys do a show.
Yeah, it's I think it's 1 a.m. Yeah.
Sweet. But thank you. Thank you very much, Darren. And we're going to talk a little about 24 later. So,
oh, I can't wait.
Some observations there. All right. Our next voicemail is Adam. Adam Sexton, cousin of Charlie. Oh, okay. We already covered that, didn't we? All right. Let's check this out. Adam.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton. Just sending you a voicemail saying hello. Just want to say a couple of things. First, congrats on bringing in a Patreon account. A lot of podcasts that I've listened to use this or another donation or subscription model. And ET Landfill is the only podcast so far that I felt comfortable supporting that way.
Yeah.
I guess because those podcasts already have plenty of fans and support. And I feel like rooting for and supporting the underdog this time. So, I mean, for the past 2 years, this has become my favorite podcast, and I was more than happy to contribute. So, I hope you get a lot more supporters for Patreon, and that you reach any goals that you're hoping to achieve. And I hope this leads to more episodes. More content or whatever, but really I'm just happy to contribute, so good luck on that. The bonus E3 episode was really great, really fun to listen to. I subscribe to several video game related podcasts, and they have all had multiple episodes covering each day of the event this week, and it's just so much content. There's a lot of possible info overlap. And your conversation was more from the perspective of someone like myself who watched the press conference at home or saw or read recaps. And it was just more comfortable, more personable listening to. I thought your daughter was just charming and funny, and she apparently has inherited your giggle. So thank you for providing that. The Lethal Weapon movie mini, one of your best, if not your best movie mini yet. Plenty of good observations, and there were jokes, and while there's a lot about the film that doesn't hold up or doesn't work or is just, you know, plain embarrassing, I still enjoy the film. A couple of observations. I've seen the film multiple times over 20 years. And I've always stopped the film after Roger says, "I'm too old for this." Sam the dog starts terrorizing Burbank the cat, and "I'll Be Home for Christmas" starts up, and the end credits start to roll. I had no idea until your episode that there was an actual theme song for the movie, this rock ballad that some rock band wrote, performed, and recorded. Someone actually paid money to do this.
Oh, and it's so
as it's playing in the background near the end of your program while you're in the home stretch for it, I kept cracking up as I heard, like, the vocals through the brief gaps in the conversation. And, my God, that's so bad. But I guess I really shouldn't be surprised, because a lot of 80s action films did this kind of thing. The deleted scene with Riggs and the prostitute, when I first saw the director's cut, back when it was first available on DVD, my interpretation of that was that he picked her up because of her physical resemblance to his dead wife. And eventually, I got to read the an early script that Shane Black wrote. There is a website called Simply Scripts that hosts download links for movie or television scripts, and there is an early draft of the script by Shane Black in which that scene plays out. But there is also a later scene where we see him take her to his trailer. He sits her down in front of a television. There's something to watch, but he's not watching the television with her. He's watching her watch it, which just goes to show just how really broken this man is. And nothing sinister happens. She tries to lighten the mood up with getting him to sing a Christmas carol. At some point, she tries to hug him, and he gently takes her hands off of him and says, "I'm going to take you back." Apparently, that's the end of that meeting. But I don't know if you've ever listened to the podcast, The Q&A with Jeff Goldsmith. But it's a wonderful kind of offshoot of the Creative Screenwriting Magazine podcast, where Goldsmith would host these Q&As for the writer directors of films that he screened. And last year he posted an episode where he talked with Shane Black and Drew Pence, who they co-wrote the script for Iron Man 3. And at the beginning of the podcast, he asked Shane Black about any anecdotes regarding Lethal Weapon, because he's a big fan of it. And Shane Black talked about this scene, and I won't recap it here because I can't, you know, describe Shane Black's thoughts as well as he does. And the episode is still available, but it's at like the 8 or 9 minute mark where he starts talking about it, and it provides an interesting glimpse on what he wanted to do with the scene, why he agrees that it was cut. I mean, he doesn't really prefer the director's cut, apparently, and what he wanted to say with the character of Riggs regarding that scene. And like you, I don't agree that it belongs, but it provides an interesting, you know, kind of wrinkle to the characterization of Riggs, where he's just this broken man that, coupled with his experiences in the war and the death of his wife, I mean, this guy can just barely function socially except for in regards to his job. So, just wanted to bring those couple of things up, but overall, man, thank you for providing me like three hours of really good conversation. The sound bites were really good. Overall, just a really good show.
Thank you.
Other than that, I don't have any other news other than the podcast that I'm working on, The Past and the Pending. It's I'm still working on it. I'm still planning to record like a short 5 to 10 minute kind of mission statement, which will go over what I want to do with the podcast. And then afterwards, I'll record my first with one of my online friends who's interested in recording up an episode with me. So that may come near the end of this month. But so far, that's the progress on that little project. Otherwise, I will probably be in the live chat listening to tonight's episode. So good luck on that. Good luck on everything, including the Patreon account. And have a nice weekend. See you later.
Thanks, Adam. I love our listeners.
I really do. That like almost brought tears to my eyes, honestly.
I love that, like, Lethal Weapon feedback, because after working so long on that show, it's nice to hear what somebody thought of it after all this time. Yeah. And I wanted to say that E3 show, actually, the reason Adam's heard it and nobody else has is because patrons got to hear it first. That's right. Patrons will get shows before the regular feed, and they'll get stuff early. And basically, we're going to spoil them, Bill.
Well, Steve, as they should be.
We're going to spoil them. They're going to get stuff first. Like that Star Wars NIM movie mini, if we ever get to do that, they're going to get it first, too. You know?
Yeah, so, let's get us that first milestone, people.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to make you guys feel special. And Adam, you made us feel special, so I thank you for that. And we have one more voicemail, and I want to set it up real quick. On the show you weren't on, Bill, Rick asked for a weird movie to watch.
I know. I listened.
Oh, great. And so we told him to, have you seen A Ravenous with Robert Carlyle?
One of my all-time favorite films, honestly.
I think
Antonio Bird directed.
It's a really cool, weird movie.
Very weird, very dark, dark comedy involving cannibalism and, kind of the pioneer era of America. It's mm-hmm. it's an insane movie, and it just came out on Blu-ray through, I believe it's the Twilight Time people. Or no, nice. it's Shout Factory. It's Shout Factory,
see,
yeah,
right,
because I just bought it.
More information than I did in that DVD set.
I love that movie. And in fact, it was driving me crazy while I was listening to the show. Like, what are you doing? That movie is fantastic.
Well, yeah, I said I liked it, remember? I mean,
yeah, I know.
I do dig it. I just should have treated it more special.
Well, you did what you could. You were in over your head. You were treading water.
And you know what? When that movie came out, you know, back in the days where people would rent VHSs or right. Or was it DVD? I can't even remember.
It was DVD.
I remember people saying, oh, have you seen that Ravenous movie? That thing's awful. That's like the worst movie I've ever seen. And I was just thinking, oh, yeah. And thinking in my head, no, it's not.
And it has this really disturbing score mm-hmm. from Damon Albarn.
Yeah, it's like
they're playing it right now.
A score to a different movie, different film.
It was on when I got home on like last Friday night. It was on.
Ravenous was?
Yeah, it was playing on Showtime.
Oh, cool!
Or something.
Great. I'd like to watch it again. It's such a bizarre freaking movie.
It was already
movie,
started, so I didn't jump into
it. Robert Carlyle's fantastic. Also, what is he doing that crappy ABC show? He needs to be.
Oh my god! Movies. Yeah, the Once Upon a Time where he plays Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
So, hey, he's got to eat, I guess. All right, let's check it out. Let's see what Rick thought of Ravenous. Fun for the whole family.
Hey, guys. So I just finished watching Ravenous. What the hell? Yeah, thanks for that one, guys. That was a really feel-good movie of the century, that one. So bloody strange.
Everyone dies.
I feel like I need a shower now after watching that. That was just... Yeah, it wasn't a fun movie, that one. Definitely was weird. The music in particular was just out of place most of the time. When you think there should be something dark and ominous, it was like...
That's what I like about it.
It throws you off.
What,
totally.
There's like a chase and people are dying, or and there's just some sort of Benny Hill music going on. What the hell is this? Anyway, yeah, definitely not feeling hungry at the moment after watching that. It just makes me feel sick.
Yes.
Yeah, so Ravenous, if you haven't seen it, I recommend
not
cooking up a few steaks, you know, a nice hearty beefy stew maybe, and just sitting down and giving it a watch.
Beefy stew.
Go perfect with a nice big steak, that movie would. Anyway, thanks for that recommendation. I'm going to go have some nightmares now. Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Thanks, Rick.
Bye. This was Rick from Australia.
You know, I'm going to do that. Go to Coulter's Barbecue, get a plate of ribs, and then watch Ravenous.
Yeah, it's really what you... I think that would be the ultimate kind of screening of Ravenous, mm-hmm. is get... Like, I would have a bunch of people pile into the theater, like an Alamo Draft House, and then have a chef cook awful, you know, O-F-F-A-L, like all the innards, all the strange meats. And then, like, I think that would be perfect. I'm so sick and twisted about it that I think mm-hmm. that would be the most amazing screening ever, having people, like, eating kidneys and livers.
Yikes. I have too much of a weak constitution. I couldn't do it. Hell,
well, there's even some seafood you refuse to eat, right?
What do you mean?
There's, like, I forget. When I was down there, we were talking about seafood, and you asked me, was it clams? You're like, mm-hmm. what's clams taste like? And I was like, well, I don't know how to describe that.
I wouldn't say I refuse to eat it. I just haven't yet.
It's not that you refuse. It's just you choose not to.
Well, it's basically like if I go to a seafood restaurant, I know what I like, and that's what I order. But if somebody else were to share, I would try it, you know?
Well, when I come down there, we're going to have to go to a seafood restaurant.
It's something
oysters on the half shell.
Mussels have never appealed to me. Like, hey, I want to, like,
I love mussels. Mussels are like a combination of an oyster and a clam.
Yeah.
But it tastes like the ocean.
Yeah. That's where I'm like, doesn't really appeal to me. Maybe deep fried, I would try it.
Deep fried, they're not bad, but you know what they're really good oysters. In? It's like a seafood portofino, like a kind of a wine cream sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I see, like, in cooking shows, they have the shells in mixed in with the pasta and everything.
Sure, yeah.
Have you ever eaten it like that?
Yeah, absolutely. They're good. It's interesting. I think
I'll try it sometime.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
I'll have one of you guys order it, and I'll just take a bite and see if I like it. Because you never know. Like, the first time I had...
You might spit it out.
The first time I... No, I wouldn't do that.
If
but the first time I had scallops, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. They cook them on Hell's Kitchen all the time.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, but is it as good as, like, shrimp or lobster? Not to me, yes.
Well, so. I don't think to anybody. Like, scallops also, it's all in the scallop that you get.
Yeah.
Like, certain scallops are sweeter than others. If
I think
it's cooked
the
right way.
They had bacon-covered scallops, like, wrapped around it. Bacon,
yeah.
And that shit was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the bacon makes anything taste good.
But I would never get scallops at Hell's Kitchen. In fact, I would never get anything at Hell's Kitchen. But
oh, you wouldn't eat that, huh?
No. Well, if I was on the Young and the Restless.
I can't wait till, Stephen, please tell me you watch this week's Hell's Kitchen. Because you know how they show celebrities walk in?
Yeah.
This was finally the, like, celebrity walked in that it was like, for us. Like, we know those guys, those Noah Mulberry guys, they have a show and they always talk about this. Let's have this celeb walk in just for them. Just for Steven, even.
Yeah.
And you'll never guess who walked in. Let's go ahead and talk about it right this second because, you know, I don't play any clips of it or anything, but Rufio from Hook.
Bangarang!
Is the celebrity on Hell's Kitchen. I was like, holy shit, it's Rufio! And
but there was another guy from The Young and the Restless wearing a hat indoors.
Well, it says his name, the actor's name, and it says Hook. That was his credit. And I was just like, Rufio! And I was like, wait a second. Has he done anything since Hook?
Does he need to do anything?
No, he can get any woman he wants. That guy's a superstar.
Yep.
Guy's
just like
pimp.
The guy that could turn into a ball. I forget his name on
that. I love that kid. He can roll up into a ball.
I remember it pissed you off.
Oh, yeah, because in my story, Laughing Boy, that I was writing, Laughing Boy's power is he could roll up into a ball. So when I watched Hook, I was like, no, they did it first. No. The Laughing Boy rolls into a ball. No.
Well,
so
technically,
pissed.
Metroid did it first, really?
Yeah, that's where probably I got the idea from is Metroid.
Samus Aran.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Or Aran. Samus Aran. Yeah, Aran. Is she part of the Third Reich? Wait a second.
All right, let's thanks everybody for the voicemail. Let's get into entertainment. Yes, entertainment. You know what? I'm really pissed.
Uh-oh.
That there's all these movies I want to see, and I know I didn't get to see Edge of Tomorrow last weekend, which sucks. I really wanted to see it. I'm sorry. Just didn't get
to do it. Guess who saw it?
You saw it?
Screw you, Steven.
Steven, no!
Because I was gonna go to the theater today, but for some stupid reason, last night at 2 a.m., I got the bug up my ass to watch Last Action Hero, and then didn't get to sleep until like 4:30, and then... Today,
awesome.
I was like, what? Should I go see a movie? Yeah, I'm going to go see the Dragon movie. And then I fell asleep.
I didn't fly out till noon on Monday, so I was like, Sunday night, I was kind of bored.
All right, well, tell us what you thought of it.
No, you got to see it.
You can't
no,
even
I really
say
liked
you liked
it. It was really good. It was...
Rubble That's baby, what I'm hearing. Compass. I'm hearing it's really, really well done.
Yeah. That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah,
here's my problem, and I'm going to let you talk about this in a second. The problem I have is just like a first world problem, Bill.
Yeah.
But XD or nothing now. The XD
yeah,
theater.
No, I totally get you there because that's the first thing I do. When I log into... The site, there's a theater here called Marcus Cinemas,
right.
And they're the nice ones. They're kind of like this indie chain, but I think it's run by rich people because they're the nicest theaters, and they have this thing called the Ultra Screen. And it's the same as the XD. It's the, you know, the best projection, the best sound. It's the Atmos and all that. And I always look at that first. And they have two Ultra screens at the place that's 20 miles from here. Honestly, and I looked, and one of them was 22 Jump Street, which makes no effing sense whatsoever. Because it's not a movie that requires an Ultra screen.
Well, it's going to make a lot of money, and they need max capacity to
You're right. You're right, of course. But it's still irritating. And the other screen, of course, is the How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, which that's awesome.
Yeah. But it's like I missed that weekend where I haven't seen X-Men yet, and I haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow yet. And I haven't seen Neighbors yet. There's all these movies I haven't seen because of the chaos that is my life recently. And it's like, do I want to go see it in a small theater?
Right.
Do I want to wait?
We miss Edge of Tomorrow in the XD theater. And that's where I'm like, oh, damn it. You know?
Yeah.
And so I looked this Friday. I really want to see How to Train Your Dragon 2 because I thought the first one was awesome. It was excellent.
And this one's getting incredible reviews.
Yes. And I see that 22 Jump Street is in the XD theater, which I do want to see. I like the first one, but I really want to see How to Train Your Dragon in 3D and XD. You know what I mean?
Did you check the theater up by my house?
No, I will check it out and see if it's showing XD anywhere because I'm going
to
go
there. I'm sorry to talk over you. Have you seen the, have you gone to the theater yet that has the Atmos there?
You know what? No, I have not, but I was talking to the last day of school, the Emma's, what do you call it? Her school chum, her dad is the one who works in the theater, always says hi to me. He was like, hey, we're all going up to McDonald's after school because they got off early and all the kids can play together and stuff. So I went up there and I was talking to him about movie theaters and stuff. And he says that they're getting Atmos in time for Transformers in the XD theater. So the weekend that Transformers comes in, they're having Atmos put in there, and that's pretty sweet.
I will totally admit that the trailer, everything about it looks awful. I can't stand the monotone acting of Marky Mark, but there's just something so freaking cool about the effects in the Transformers movies. I can't resist it.
So let me the freaking out!
Yeah.
So let me the freaking Autobot! So, but Steven, did you enjoy Edge of Tomorrow?
Yes. Trying to think how to explain.
You don't have to explain
the movie
don't
or anything.
Don't spoil anything! Shut up!
It keeps going back in time. It goes over and over.
No!
The way they do it is pretty cool.
Spoilers detected.
Oh, you set off the spoiler alarm, Steven.
Listen at your own risk.
No, I mean, we know pretty much about that part, but does it live up to the concept? Is it pretty awesome and stuff?
Yes. Cool. What it doesn't... God, I don't want to ruin anything.
Don't
you dare ruin anything.
The thing I'm excited about is I read the book, All You Need Is Kill, twice.
Okay. All it's You just Need so cool. Is Kill.
Yeah, dun, it's dun, just dun. Such a great book. But what I understand is that it takes the basic premise of the book and actually expands on it, makes it better. It's a different story. It's not the book. So that's what I'm really excited about, is seeing what direction they took it in.
Yeah, the creatures are really cool.
Wait, they're
your pie hole!
Steven, there are creatures in the movie? I had no idea!
I thought they were fighting
You're
themselves!
You're spoiling everything! Oh, sorry.
I'm going to go see it tomorrow. I have some work to get done.
I can't afford to see three freaking movies this weekend.
Well, I'm not going to go see three, but...
I want to see How to Train Your Dragon. I want to see 22 Jump Street just to laugh our asses off, you know?
Yeah. How much is it now down there to go see like XD 15? Movie?
You know what's funny is I try not to pay attention anymore. Just give them my credit card and just like not paying attention. But yeah, it's 15 bones.
Yeah, I think the Marcus Theater for... for like the first or second showing is like $11, and then I can never resist getting like a pop and a like a bag of M&Ms or something, and that's like another $9. So it's basically $20-$25 to go to the movies.
I let Steven now get the large popcorn. I just like, okay,
whenever son. when I'm done,
and then you just pray that your dad isn't there with you.
No. Yeah, no, he'll or never do there, that he, again.
If he's put there, your he's shoes eating. On.
What?
Oh, but The Edge of Tomorrow, it's fun. It's a good movie.
Awesome. Is there an Edge of Tomorrow in it?
There is.
Right. And I wanted to say, I
like
just,
the 13th floor where you reach
said that.
The edge.
That's a spoiler. Did you? There's an Edge of Tomorrow in it.
What? Wait, what? Oh, here you go again, Steven.
Proceed with caution.
Bill, I had no idea that the film Ping Pong Summer existed until I saw the Branded by the 80s guy posted about it.
Okay.
Sean Robert. And I watched the trailer, and sure enough, it's the kind of film we would want to watch. It takes place in the 80s during summertime. A kid, all he does is hang out like at a rec center with 80s video games and plays ping pong. It's like one of those coming of age tales, and it looks perfect.
You know what they need to do is make a movie, or maybe I'll write it.
Is it like
that takes place at the local pool where just your parents dump you off for the day and mm-hmm. give you no money for food, and you basically have to con people into giving you money or steal food.
There was that. What was that Sam Rockwell movie? I love that where he was.
Oh, the Way Way Back.
The Way Way Back. Yeah. That's an awesome movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's
I just watched it recently because it went up on Netflix.
That I love Sam Rockwell. You just how can you not love that guy?
That's all you need. Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell. I love.
It's like the other day I was watching Galaxy Quest in the middle of the night, just going, God damn, he's so good. I wish there was another one just so we could get more Guy Fleegman.
I don't know if you know this, but I don't speak Russian.
Okay, he doesn't speak Russian. I
neither
love that. He that part in, I always say it whenever I hear that drop, Iron Man 2 is a mess, but Sam Rockwell is awesome in that whole speech where he's like, take his parrot, and he's like, take his shoes.
Yeah,
and
he's the only reason to watch that movie.
Yeah, and then like he says something in Russian, you know, Mickey Rourke, and he's like, I don't know if you know this, but I don't speak Russian. It's awesome.
The ironic part of that scene is that Mickey Rourke doesn't either. That's not Russian he's speaking.
Yeah, he's just
gibberish.
Making stuff up. But yeah. So those are three big movies. Anything coming out next weekend, Bill? It's the summertime. What's the next big movie?
Let me bring that up real quick. You sprung that on me.
Sorry.
I should have known better. All right, I think next weekend it's is it that Melissa McCarthy next weekend? The Tammy?
Tammy. I gotta admit, that looks kind of funny.
When she... There's just something about the bumbling fat chick that makes me laugh. It's politically incorrect, but it makes me laugh.
She does.
You know what's really... It came out of nowhere was Jersey Boys, the Clint Eastwood film, based on the Broadway play about the Four Seasons.
Yep.
But yeah, that's next week. Oh, that's really the only thing next week is... And I think there's a, you know, one of those urban comedies, Think Like a Man. I don't even have to look it up. I know for a fact that's what it is, because only those movies have titles like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not right.
It's true. June 27th, we have the Transformers movie. Finally, we get the limited U.S. release of Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer!
Which I want to see on a big screen. Like, I need to see that on the biggest screen I can find.
Yeah.
But I hate that in the American trailer and on the American poster, they spoil one of the best cameos in the film.
Yeah, yeah. What the hell is that? Because when you're, like, Bill and I have seen Snowpiercer. I think we talked about it on the show. Did we talk about it on the show? I think we did.
We might have.
But when a certain person shows up in the movie, it's like, whoa, where did he come from? And so now, I guess they just want to sell the movie. They're like, yeah, he's in it. He's like, okay.
I guess, but it just carried such kind of a gravitas moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and he plays that character. And I don't even know why we're talking about it in, like, trying to be coy. But he plays that character Gravitas. That's just mentioned throughout the whole movie. You know, from the educational film to the classrooms, and just this looming sense, like, when are they going to reach the front of the train? Who is this? What is this? And then it's this person, and it's like, oh.
And they're trying to sell it as an action movie, and if you go in thinking that, you're going to be disappointed. It's not.
You are going to be so pissed.
It's a very strange, peculiar type of very interesting sci-fi kind of crazy
class warfare.
Yeah,
evils of capitalism.
It's
like just
a study on the social stuff.
It's almost kind of like I would call it a post-apocalyptic dystopian tale of really our current world government.
Yeah, it's like a class struggle. That's what it is, and that's what the train represents, the Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
So, definitely, I would definitely recommend watching it, and it was funny because my dad saw it, and he was like, oh, I really want to talk to you about this, and then after a week passed, he was like, I was real enthusiastic about it the day I needed to talk to you, but it's been a week. Now I just want to tear the movie apart because...
Really? I had the exact opposite reaction.
Yeah, I think it's just because if you start applying logic to it, like, how are all these people on here? Where do they go? Like, it's like, you can't do that.
No. That's not what it's about.
Yeah. You're not supposed to focus on reality. Come on.
Yeah, this is as dystopian and depressing as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the idea of the train itself always circling and then... You know, the lies and the manipulation, the control, it's disturbing and kind of deeply, darkly beautiful in a way.
Yeah, and the production values are awesome, and Chris Evans is amazing in it.
Chris Evans, I mean, come on, that guy, whenever he really kind of bloomed in Sunshine, I think that was really the kind of the role that people went, whoa, this guy has something here. And he's wonderful in Snowpiercer.
Yeah, he is. All right, well, that's our entertainment segment for this portion of the program. Let's go ahead and get into What's on our Tila! Woo! What's on our Tila? Okay, what's on our TiVo indeed? And I want to go ahead and try to be as nice as possible. We don't have to be jerks about this, but... I have now watched 3 episodes of The Wil Wheaton Project.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so have I. I'm right there with you.
I honestly think the second episode was an improvement over the first. Remember the first one? Too loud.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just everything was just loud and just hitting you over the head. There were a few things that made me laugh. The Neil deGrasse Tyson stuff, like drunk or stoned. I thought that was funny.
Somebody already did that.
Oh, yeah?
Somebody did that online like months ago where they slowed down.
So they got the idea from that.
Yeah, exactly. And then somebody actually did Cosmos on Weed and all that. I mean, this is an idea that they basically lifted from someone.
Because they did a joke this week that is years old, and it was the Braum.
I told you. I messaged you. I said, like, this. They stole one of your jokes from, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's really old. Maybe Wil Wheaton always wanted to do it, and he didn't have a show then or something.
Right.
But yeah,
or he just has really awful writers.
Okay, that's what I wanted to say. The writing is terrible. This most recent episode was terrible.
It's not even clever. It's actually, like, 2 steps back. If the first episode was the worst, it's now the second best.
It's bad. Like, I made a clip of just the... Steven, you don't watch Game of Thrones, but there's a character on Game of Thrones named Hodor.
Yeah.
The only thing he ever says is Hodor. Like,
right.
Hodor, that's all he says. But he's a simple guy, but he's a big, strong man who carries around a character all the time on his back through this little strap thing. That's the way that the younger character gets around because he doesn't have the use of his legs. So they made this bit on the Wil Wheaton Project where the Hodor round, where you could carry people around on your back, which makes...
That makes me cringe even in speech. Just
it makes no sense at all, and it's just not funny at all, and let's go ahead and play it in this It's kind of a visual joke, but it's not. It's just showing different people carrying...
Being carried by a Hodor-type character.
Yeah. No, it is Hodor.
Or it's like
That's
a mannequin.
The problem.
Yeah, and they have the actor from Game of Thrones doing it, unfortunately. So let's check this out.
So actors on Game of Thrones can never be sure when their characters will die. That's why the savvy performer always has a plan B. And I'm happy to see that one of my favorite characters has broken into the lucrative celebrity endorsement market.
Can't get around the way you used to? Due to age or size or being thrown out of a tower? That's why there's HodorRound, the premier personal mobility solution. HodorRound makes life easier for you than any other product on the market.
Hello, friends. I'm Christian Hodornarn. I may not have a lot to say on Game of Thrones, but I have a lot to say about HodorRound.
Hodor himself trains and chooses only the finest, strongest Hodor Round applicants. The rest are shown the door. Once he's ready, we'll deliver your Hodor Round right to your lonely old person apartment. Hodor Round is infinitely maneuverable.
Why are you lonely?
With Hodor Round, you can get back to having a life.
Because you're
and
old.
And a love life.
Gross! Order your Hodor Round today.
Act now and get the first four seasons of Game of Thrones in the preferred old person format.
Oh, Hodor you Round. Stop with the
because
bad joke.
Because walking is for jerks.
It's on VHS.
Hodor Round!
Act fast. Supplies are limited because this is in no way legal.
Hodor!
Don't applaud
yes.
that.
Yes, I will pay for the expedited delivery. Oh, we're back. This week, Detroit celebrated the first ever RoboCop
Day. I just
had
to include this.
Here's how City Hall got Detroit pumped up.
People of Detroit, get ready to show your city pride. It's time to celebrate RoboCop Day. Join us as we unveil Detroit's very own RoboCop statue. Because nothing says Detroit like violence, corruption, and cops with no boundaries. Ain't no party like a RoboCop party. Detroit, yes.
Ah, Detroit. Coming up next on their calendar is Irony Day.
You know what's so bad about that joke is that they don't get the joke of the RoboCop statue. Like, the whole joke of the RoboCop statue is Detroit has so little to be proud of that they need something that they can be proud of. You know, it's like there was a joke years ago, these guys doing Cleveland tourism videos. And the tagline was, Cleveland, at least we're not Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows Detroit is a shithole. Even people that live in Detroit know it's a shithole. Detroit is so corrupt that they bankrupted themselves. I mean, writers in L.A. that have never even existed outside of that area. And they're trying to make a Detroit joke, and it just doesn't work. I lived in Detroit. It's freaking depressing.
I think it'd be funnier. Like, I always thought it was funny that they had RoboCop toys, and it's like an incredibly violent movie
that had
a rating of X until they chopped down minutes of a bloody scene, and then they made toys. That's funny to me.
That's a better joke.
But it's obvious that they're trying to, okay, what do we got this week? What can we kind of make jokes out? The problem is the jokes aren't funny. All the show needs to do, they have like 22 minutes to have some funny stuff. Last week, there were a couple things that made me laugh, mainly making fun of the already shitty stuff that's on Sci-Fi, the horrible programming on there. I think if he just concentrated on making fun of the bad movies on Sci-Fi and the bad TV shows like the Scare Tactics and all that. Although until Tracy Morgan is better, don't make fun of that show because it would just be in poor taste. But there's a whole lot of material to mine on just Sci-Fi and the ghost shows and stuff. There was one joke that cracked me up on the whole episode, Bill, and it was when they said the show Sasquatch Hunters returned, and the lady's talking about she saw something in her window, and they showed like a CGI Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, she found the Sasquatch. What are they going to do the rest of the season or something? And I kind of went, I chuckled at that.
Well, she found it.
Yeah.
Season's over.
And how irritating was the visit to Robot Chicken Studios?
Yeah, goddamn Seth Green.
I mean, and we didn't even talk about it on the E3 show, but how bad the Robot Chicken shorts were in the Nintendo press conference video.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nintendo must have hired them to do some funny Mario stuff and everything.
It was just so painful, and they're so...
to the kids. Kiddos, I guess.
Basically, it's like, it's the worst comedy writing ever, and there's a group of guys that somehow, some way, created this awesome studio with all these cool games and shit, and yet that's what they do for a living. It's jealousy and irritation all mixed in one.
Do you remember seeing that Seth Green and his other partner, I don't know who he is, but...
Asshole from Clueless.
They did Star Wars Detours, like a comedy. Yeah. It was a computer animated series that was coming to Cartoon Network, I think, that was all Star Wars jokes. Mm-hmm. Thank God George Lucas sold Star Wars, because they immediately just shelved it.
Yeah.
And there's a, if you want to go look on YouTube at a trailer of Star Wars Detours, watch that, and you'll be like, oh, whew, they dodged a bullet there.
Yeah,
man.
They dodged a huge bullet.
All right, well, I want to talk about Hell's Kitchen real quick, Bill, and then we're going to take a break. Okay. Now, Hell's Kitchen, of course, we love this show for its monotony and same shit every season.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say that. I haven't watched it in a very, very long time. But with the Patreon thing and all this going on and us kind of reinvigorating, I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to it.
Heck yes.
I swear to God, not a thing has changed. You could swap out the people on the show and it would be identical. It's the same menu, the same music, the mm-hmm. same dramatic beats, everything. It never changes.
There is one thing that's different, Bill.
What is that?
I don't ever think I've seen rappers on Hell's Kitchen.
All of a sudden, my God.
UPS shows up, but they're not UPS. They're
AK.
And what's funny, one guy is like, y'all gonna take your clothes off. He thinks they're strippers.
Yeah,
they're
of
not.
They do.
They're rappers. Yeah. Let's check this out.
A surprise visitor brings a surprise delivery from Chef Ramsay. Oh,
y'all about to tell you something? No, all right, go ahead.
God, that guy is such an idiot.
Morning, teams of red and blue. Chef Ramsay sent a present for you. These presents control each of your fate. You should share them with your fellow teammates.
Oh, my God.
Ramsay wrote those raps himself.
The menu's a book. Is that what they say? Because red versus blue design is today. 1 hour is all you have to design. A scrumptious menu before the deadline.
Better find a way to make the chef go wild. Or it might be time for you to go right now.
All right.
Courtesy.
You know, that rap wouldn't have won a freestyle battle for sure.
They should have got the Lamar Luttrell from Revenge of the Nerds to do that.
I've never heard two black people with less rhythm. I mean, holy crap. That's awful.
It was pretty bad. But
that was awful.
What do you guys think of the guy, Anton, who his voice like
the guy that sounds like Chef Scott.
At first, I thought he sounded like Al Pacino or something like that. But his voice got worse. You know, it's just like, when he's sitting there talking to people, I would be like, if I knew this guy, it's like, I can't take this guy seriously. His voice is ridiculous, you know?
He sounds like the guy that's now on Chicago PD, the ex-Scientologist.
Yeah, Jason Beige or
Beige,
yeah.
I have no idea.
That guy, I don't know what's wrong with his voice either. It's like, this guy's the star of his own TV show, and he can't talk.
Well, it was the thetans that destroyed his voice, apparently.
Yeah, hopefully he gets to fix those. But let's go ahead and play this clip
of auditing.
Anton, Bill.
Anton.
And I love it. He has the best going away speech ever, where he pretty much crowns himself the winner of Hell's Kitchen.
He's King Douchebag.
Let's check this out. Oh, and I love he gets in a shouting match where she starts shouting at him. The what's the lady's name? The Hell's Kitchen.
Melanie?
The assistant chef this lady.
Chef Andy. Oh, God.
And he starts saying some pretty sexist things, I thought.
He's an asshole.
He is. Let's check this out. He basically didn't want to give her the last word.
Yeah.
Is Anton ready with his beef Wellington?
I need two Wellingtons cut.
Wellingtons, are they ready to? Are they ready to go?
They're sitting right there. Cut them up, please.
Snap to a Slim Jim.
It's overcooked.
Yeah.
He does show like
Wellington. Let's go.
See how expensive those things are.
Stop. All of you, stop. These are not a little over.
That's way over. Yes.
Obviously, I screwed it up with the oven. Next door's oven, I got it down pat. This one, I screwed it up.
Oh, yeah, bone saw.
I just don't understand. Make an excuse for an oven or whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter.
What is your process?
Normally, for next door, it's 18 minutes and 5 minutes on the side. I let it rest for another 5 minutes.
Stop yelling at me. I've told them it's 14 minutes.
That's this actually oven you said is 14 minutes on the Wellington?
14, 400. Done. That's it.
I understand
that's
that,
Chef.
Don't think I'm going to let some little girl get in my face, start ripping a new because you got issues on being a woman in the kitchen. I was just saying that this way I was
going. Stop talking back.
You will not break me. And I'm just going to piss you off more on purpose.
Anton, pull it together.
I have it together, Chef.
Don't you talk back to me. Don't you ever talk back to me.
I'm talking back.
Yes, you are. Pull it together.
Talking back
purpose.
To anybody.
Anton, cut it, yo. He crossed the line. She's in charge. Uh-uh. You don't do that. You don't even rock like this.
Shut up and say yes, Chef.
Yes, Chef.
Anton, come here.
Anton's out of control. He's going down in flames.
Get in here.
I don't see it ever getting any better for him.
Chef Ramsay slams the door as hard as
possible. What the are you doing?
You've got to keep it together.
I do have it together. I have a clear head on it. But the Wellingtons are
clear
way
head
out of
on it?
You're not communicating. Your head's in the sand. And at this moment now, I need you to rise and get it back together.
Yes, Chef.
Let's go.
Yes, Chef.
I wonder after those scenes if Gordon Ramsay goes in the closet and goes, what am I doing with my life?
Do you think you should stay in Hell's Kitchen?
I think I should stay here in Hell's Kitchen because I know who I am and I think you see who I am.
Oh, thank God you know who you are. Ago,
what I'm worried about is this downward spiral. Why can't you talk when you're in the weeds?
I didn't really feel like that was an issue for me, but clearly you feel that's an issue. If that's something I need to work on, then I have to work on it.
Anton, give me your jacket. Downward spiral, and I am not feeling you coming back.
Sorry to hear that. I think Chef Ramsay might have taken tonight as arrogance, but I know my abilities. One day Chef Ramsay and I will meet again. Maybe next time it'll be his restaurant next door to mine. I didn't walk away with the crown, but I was the best out of everybody in there.
And so I will stab him in the kidneys.
The winner of Hell's Kitchen, in my opinion.
I'm not looking for the chef with the biggest resume and 20 years in a kitchen. It's what you do in here that counts.
Not being used to my ability.
Yeah, I love that. He goes, well, that makes me the winner of Hell's Kitchen, in my opinion. It's like, no, it doesn't. No.
Well, on his way out, I guess he can pretend. That's he opened that door. Hey, the door opened, everyone. I'm the winner. Oh, that's the exit.
When the show has a ridiculous person on there, that's what makes it entertaining.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, you know, where you could just, like, make fun of them.
I'm just sort of fascinated by the blonde chick that you say every episode there is a bra shot of her.
Guys, such
an
idiot.
That chick Melanie, how many times have they showed her changing in her bra?
Apparently I'm going to have to go back and watch it because now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, they've done it a lot.
She's exceedingly irritating, but I guess I'm just going to have to go back and look. In fact, you asked me who I was talking about because I don't know their names. Mm-hmm. So I started typing in Melanie Hell's Kitchen into Google in the first suggestion. Melanie Hell's Kitchen bra.
Are you serious?
No, I am not lying. I'm not embellishing. Go to Google, type in Melanie Hell's Kitchen. The first suggestion, bra.
Oh, that's so funny. Because remember, I was telling you that, like, if you type in any, like, major actress, type in their name, and the first thing that it fills in is feet.
Feet!
It's always feet.
That's so creepy.
Like, type in, I don't know, like, Naomi Watts, feet. Jennifer Lawrence, feet. It's always feet. So there's these foot fetish people who are always like, are there pictures of their feet?
All I had to do was type in Melanie Hell. The first suggestion, Hell's Kitchen. Second, Melanie Hell's Kitchen bra.
Oh, that's funny. It's like Game of Thrones. You know, it's the same thing. Like if I does T, the letter T, and it would say Tyrion live. You know, that's like the finish of it. All right, well, guys, we're going to take a break.
The menus are blank. Oh, is that what they said? Because red versus blue designers
no!
today.
Break, not blank. Shut up.
That's scrumptious menu before the deadline.
You better find a way to make the chef go wild. Or it might be time.
These are the same people that did like the Big Mac wrap or whatever.
You've been served.
You've been served. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about Master Chef.
MasterChef.
Hey, I didn't say that.
Y'all about to tell you something? No, huh? Hey, go ahead.
This is new Coronet Angel Soft Bath Tissue. We've asked some spokes angels to tell you what most impresses them about it. Wow. Angel Soft Bath Tissue, in the inimitable words of those who have tried it, is Angel Soft Soft.
Ronald McDonald.
And I'm Chicken McNuggets.
And Dip to my loo.
Oh, boy, I just love square dancing.
One, two, one, two, three. Don't go round and round. Get real dizzy and then fall down. Five, the barbecue sauce all tasty and red. And Dip to my loo McNugget.
Are you Lou? Who's Lou?
You guys are all a little Lulu. It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
Good dog! Come on!
Four generations of my dogs have been raised on Calcan.
Erica McCurley, top breeder of champion pointers.
Just look at the dog. Their eyes are bright. They're shiny. They're happy. They're energetic. And they win. Meat's very important to any dog because it's a basic part of their diet. I feed the dogs Calcan. They devour the food. They just dive right in. Calcan makes a big difference.
Calcan, recommended by top breeders.
Honey, Danny fell out of a tree and scraped his arm. What's good for that? Polly's born antibiotic spray? Okay. Honey, Megan wrestled with the cat. And the cat won. What's good for that? Polly's born antibiotic spray? Okay.
Polly's born is the only first aid spray with antibiotic protection to kill germs and help wounds heal fast.
Hi, honey. Did you know Polysporin is good for cooking burns, too?
Polysporin, the only antibiotic first aid spray.
Okay, into the showers. Let's build body with the Pril 1-2.
One, shampoo in, body in, body in, fullness in.
Pril body.
Two.
Pril protein-enriched conditioner.
Conditioner in, protein in, condition in, control in.
That's Pril body.
Full body shampoo.
And Pril conditioner. It's my bodybuilding system.
Chewy, nutty Baby Ruth. Crispy, crunchy, peanut buttery Butterfinger with their great rich taste.
Tear into them now, Nabisco!
It's the JCPenney back to school sale. Cause when you gotta go to school, you gotta go. So go in style to the head of the class. In sweater vests, that's 25% off. And super cords that really measure up. The point is, you gotta look sharp. And you gotta have these sneaks that pass the test. So hurry up and don't be slow. Cause when you gotta go to school, you gotta go. Smarter than ever, JCPenney.
Quick, write this down. Good Health, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Now you can send for a free packet of government health information on diet, exercise, and more. Do it now.
I'm up to my ears in softness. You can be too with me. Snuggle Fabric Softener. Snuggly softness that's really less expensive. With me, clothes feel so soft. Smell, cuddle fresh. And they're static-free. Soft don't stick, clothes don't cling. For a wash that snuggly softness can be, try me.
Snuggle Fabric Softener. Snuggly softness that's really less expensive.
Hold on there.
Oh, come on, Dad. The guys are waiting.
So's that lawn.
I'll do it later.
You promise?
Promise.
You live with a busy 10-year-old, you learn to compromise. But not here. We make sure the orange juice is Minute Maid. Not just because it always tastes great. It actually has more vitamin C than most other chilled orange juices. I figure a growing lawn can wait. A growing body can't.
For all the vitamin C you need, make sure. Make it Minute Maid.
Enjoy extra sugar-free gum.
You get extra flavor, extra fun.
Extra, the only leading sugar-free gum with NutraSweet, gives you extra refreshing flavor that lasts an extra, extra, extra long time.
Extra flavor for that extra long play. Extra flavor for that extra long day. When you chew it, extra, the extra fresh flavor lasts an extra, extra, extra long time.
Extra lasts extra long.
It's too hot and too early to sleep. The neighbor's dog won't quit barking, and you've got the rerun blues. So you might as well turn to
CBS, because you're not going to believe it. Bob Barker and The Price is Right will spin and flash those primetime blues away Thursday nights.
He's an exceptional hero.
You don't measure a person by their height. It's the size of their heart that really matters.
They call him the wizard. He's a toy maker and something more.
He's also the inventive genius of our time.
Whose technical wizardry proves
anything can happen.
Share the spirit of adventure. The Wizard, coming soon to CBS.
Wonderful. Marvelous.
Pizza's a real single man's delicacy, because you can call up, pick it up on your way home, there's no commitment, take it home, and eat it in your underwear. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that, does it, guys?
During August, when you come to Pizza Hut for delicious pizza, you can also get a coupon worth 10% off your next Anthony's credit card purchase. And it's just in time for back to school from Anthony's and Pizza Hut. State law prohibits availability at Kansas Pizza Hut restaurants.
All over America, you'll find kids playing. With things and in things that came from Kmart. Where more people, parents included, shop than any other store. For summer things like Tonka toys and McGregor shoes. And, of course, when it's time for things for back to school.
America's favorite store.
Kmart, the saving place.
Hamburger places may be good at making hamburgers, but when they try to make chicken, it doesn't always fly. That's why I count on the chicken experts, Kentucky Fried Chicken. The Colonel's secret recipe makes their chicken tender, juicy, and downright delicious.
Finger licking good.
At Kentucky Fried Chicken, all we do is chicken, so we do it right. Those burger places are only fooling themselves.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, we do chicken right.
Who has more poor eye protection than Close Up? Nobody.
Get closer. When you're close up, that one close up counts. Ooh. Whiter teeth and a fresh mouth.
Ooh. It's the nicest thing that you can do. Ooh. Do it for me.
And I'll do it for you.
One love.
Get close up.
With fluoride.
Going home.
There's my old house.
Going home to yesterday.
I hope he's still here.
I'll take your hand.
And Mr. B? Joey Whipper. It's Joe now. This is Joey.
Hey, how you doing?
Still got those popsicle ice pops?
A genuine article.
Cherry, right?
Going home.
Hey.
Going home.
Me and Luchansky must have had 1,000 of these sitting right here.
Going home.
You having a good time?
Yeah. Memories begin with genuine popsicle, fudsicle, and creamsicle brand pops.
It was fun.
If you like strawberry shortcake, you'll love the strawberry shortcake sundae we make at Brahms. We start with Brahms' fresh pound cake and two big dips of Brahms' real vanilla ice cream. Then we ladle on delicious strawberry topping, add whipped cream and a cherry. The strawberry shortcake sundae from Brahms. You'll like it.
That cool, refreshing feeling of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum puts a sparkle in your eye, a spring in your step, and makes things lots of fun.
It's that little look from Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. It's that little look. Come on and get you some.
That clean, fresh taste Wrigley's Spearmint's got.
that little lift that means a lot.
It's that little lift from Ripley Spearmint Gum.
It's new Kool-Aid coolers with 20% juice.
You can ice it, shake it, pop it, cool it. Sip it, hip it, pop it, cool
it. Icy fruit, it's super juicy. Kool-Aid coolers make it cooler.
Pack it, pocket, play it cooler. Sack it, sock it, see it cooler.
Icy fruit is super juicy.
With 20% juice.
Kool-Aid coolers make it cooler.
Hi, Alf here. Me and my pal Brian are hosting all your favorite NBC shows this Saturday morning. It's going to be out of this world.
I'm going to have me some fun. 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 I'm going to have me some fun.
Don't talk to me while I'm in the bathroom, please.
Webster! What is Webster doing?
He's going to have him some fun. He likes Bill.
Awesome.
He's all rambunctious. We just came back in. He brought me a rabbit.
He brought you a rabbit? Seriously?
He took off into the field. And I was like, Webster, no, what are you doing? And then he comes back and he's got this wiggling rabbit in his mouth.
Gross.
Yes.
Oh, what did you take it away from him?
He dropped it whenever I told him to.
But now I've
got to go out there and dispose of it.
So it's dead.
Let's give Krull a try.
You know how, like, baby, when she grabs something and does that head whip?
Yeah.
That's their instinct to kill something, to break its neck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he did, and so he got a rabbit.
Aw, poor little rabbit.
He likes red meat. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, good job. He's following his instincts.
He is. He can't help it. Now he's pissed that I took it off of him. He's like, hey, buddy, you get your own.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that was mine.
I want to go back outside and eat my rabbit.
That wasn't a gift.
The mice were gifts.
That wasn't a gift. Okay, that sounds like baby when I put her rope up and she can't get to it. She goes like, because what she does when she has a rope is she drops it on your lap and starts chewing it near your family jewels, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, one of those teeth is about to connect somewhere. Yeah, I better get rid of this. So I'm going to hang the rope up here, and she just sits and stares at it and goes, uh-huh. So anyway, Bill, let's talk about Master Chef.
All right.
Now, Master Chef, honestly, I enjoy the mystery box challenges. I don't really care that much about the big challenge. Go out to the middle of the Mojave Desert and the military's there and they have to cook food for them.
I find the spectacle of it irritating.
Right. The helicopters. It's like that scene in Lethal Weapon where Roger goes out to get his daughter and takes forever for the helicopter to show up with all the bad guys. It's just like that,
What's
isn't it?
What's annoying is, okay, just for the soldier's sake, they want a good meal and they may not get a good one.
Yeah.
They're not going to get a good one.
Well, that's like the guys, they made that pork chop, but then like some shitty side thing. Was it like coleslaw? Who made? Oh wait, was it chicken and coleslaw, or one of them was like chicken and rice or something? I don't know, but it's like a main meat and then some crappy side.
But which one made the awful mac and cheese?
Right, that was all runny. I can't remember.
Well, they didn't do a cheese sauce. Like you didn't do the flour butter first, then cheese and milk.
Yeah, they just put a bunch of cheese in the pot and it was all stringy and gross.
Yeah, it was so gross.
And. They basically, I can't even remember who won and who lost.
It was shockingly the red team, who was the ones that had the raw pork chops and the bad mac and cheese, and they missed a ton of plates.
And they butterflied it, right? And that was the thing. The whole thing is that the pork that was done was actually delicious.
Yeah.
And the other people had chicken, and they're just like, lame chicken.
Yeah.
And here's a clip here of that one long-haired guy named Leslie.
I hate this guy.
That weird guy.
Yeah.
He's really arrogant and irritating.
Yeah, they showed in the first episode he's wealthy. He lives in Malibu.
He's a stay-at-home dad.
He's a stay-at-home dad. He lives in basically a friggin' mansion, and his wife works, and he cooks all the time. And,
must be nice.
Yeah, it looks like, and he's got his flowing gray locks that he's seems
like
proud
a poser.
Of. And he's like telling the lady that this chicken isn't cooked all the way, and she's like, "Yeah, it is. Just come on, who cares?" And then after this, they do the challenge. I made a clip here of the blueberry pie.
Oh yes.
But what I made a clip of that I think is so much. What I think is funny about the show is there are long pauses between things. What you're going to cook here is a like long, I think 5 minutes passes, blueberry pie. And it's like, like that. And
they're not building suspense. They are burning time.
Yeah, they're like, dude, we got like 20 minutes left in the show. What are we going to do?
Should be 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
All right, let's check this out.
On the blue team, Leslie is panicking that Stephanie's chicken is undercooked.
These are not done. These are not done. They're not done.
Oh, that one is.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Look.
He is panicking.
Okay.
I know. Leslie is driving me up the wall. He's always in my face, running his yap, talking too much, and he really needs to back off.
It feels soft. It looks soft.
No, that's good.
Okay.
Pulling gray hair is in my face.
I like soft chicken.
The last thing you want is raw chicken. Or otherwise, you're going to walk out with a lot of sick people here.
Yeah.
How many pores have you got cooked?
Two pans in the hot box.
When Gordon is looking at your chicken, you know you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's like an episode of Kitchen Nightmares.
It's raw.
Hey, blue team.
Yes, chef.
Pass me a knife. Let's go. All of you, let's go. Stand over here. Who checked this chicken?
I did.
Raw.
You did a bad job.
Raw chicken.
Seriously? So you didn't cut the chicken open? You didn't check the chicken to see if it was done? None of that?
This chicken right now is more dangerous than the enemy. Honestly, guys.
What enemy?
At least one of you will be going home based on how you cook the dish that we are about to show you.
Maybe it's Cobra, Bill.
Oh! No, Jeff!
And it's what?
Blueberry pie.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
blueberry pie! God. You've got to be kidding me.
We're looking for one stunning blueberry pie.
You.
Something worthy of this pie's amazing tradition in this country. As you slice through that delicious pastry,
wait,
you should hear that crisp
tradition in our country?
Crunch.
I guess I the big American think.
If it had
thing.
Been the other way, where they say, here's the dish, now pick three people and you can save yourself, I would have gone upstairs.
I don't really eat blueberry pie, do you?
And look at that filling.
No.
Bursting with amazing blueberry flavor. And a
I'm
good
an apple
pie filling
guy,
always
like
holds
a,
together. When you do this dish pie. Justice, it's an absolute perfect
like
slice of Americana.
Pie.
I've
okay,
like pumpkin
it's
pie.
Time to head to your stations.
I don't bake a lot, so I want to show the judges that I think outside of the box and that I'm not your average.
This lady who
cook.
Got eliminated,
yes, Jamie.
Every yes, challenge sir. She goes,
what
I've
is
never
that
made
on the
this
side of your neck.
It's
by putting pecans in the pie.
So clearly, this challenge was tailor made for you.
I hope so.
Oh my.
I like her little.
She looks like Tina from Bob's Burgers.
That's what I like. She has a tattoo of a blueberry pie, and it says under it, it didn't say New Jersey.
No, it says Joisey.
New Joisey.
Joisey.
And I like her.
I bet
her
you
little...
she loves Bruce Springsteen, too.
Oh, yeah, the boss. You know it.
Asbury's
so,
Park.
I have no idea who's going to win this at this point, Bill. But I'm having somewhat fun. But like I
well,
said, I like
they the... are doing their best to say that the guy that was team captain is going home. It's so funny, the editing and the misdirection that they employ.
Yeah.
It's blueberry pie.
But yeah, I like when they do the mystery box, the whole big production where they make burgers for bikers or whatever. It's just silly to me.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where they're relying too heavily on the a formula, much like Hell's Kitchen. It's getting stale. They've mixed it up a little bit this year by not incorporating the kind of American Idol auditions.
Yeah, yeah.
But those were my favorite part.
Yeah, I even like last season when they did the camping thing. They went camping and they had to make things outdoors.
That was was a good one. Yeah, I like that.
Remember, they even went to like the set of Glee and had all the cast there.
Yeah, and I just don't. And like, I guess I started getting annoyed whenever they show up with the helicopters, and then I was like, that is a waste of tax money.
I know. It seems like, are we supposed to be like, whoa, they got tanks and stuff? I don't know. Maybe we're
Who's paying for this gasoline?
God damn it.
Yeah, it's irritating. And then they're sitting in the truck with the helmets. Why the hell are you wearing a helmet? Are you going into a war zone?
That's my favorite
This place is enormous, and there's a constant fight, and this is where they train.
I don't care. The real enemy is the chicken. Yes. It's not, the terrorists or anything like that. Or it's like, whatever, Gordon. But one thing that I think is funny, whenever they do that big production number, they always have the vehicle drive up, and then here they come. It's Gordon, and it's Joe. And it's Elliot Graham.
Elliot Bowlers.
I wanted you to say Elliot Graham Bowles.
Oh, Elliot Graham Bowles.
Back when we first started covering it, it would be Elliot Graham. And you're like, it's Elliot Graham Bowles.
I still love the explanation of why he dropped the Bowles.
He loves bowling.
Yeah. He doesn't want to alienate people who aren't bowlers.
Right.
So he had to drop the balls.
Now, Bill, do you remember, Steven, the last 24 episode?
You were talking to me, damn it!
Bill, you and I talked about the last episode 24 on the Lunchtime Show. Steven, did you see the last one where the president, you know, he has Alzheimer's or early Alzheimer's? And when Stephen Fry finds out about it, he says...
Hasn't got his wits about him.
Hasn't got his wits about him. So the MI5 interrupts Jack Bauer's investigation, screws everything up. And so here I have...
He's betraying them.
Yeah. Here's when the president has a word with Stephen Fry, Bill. He tears him a new one. Let's check this out.
James, I take it you've heard what's happened.
I explicitly asked you to allow Jack Bauer to handle this alone. Now, you gave me your word.
I only agreed to hold off a military presence on the streets. Trusting a fallen agent is another matter entirely. Our surveillance shows that he was betraying...
You had no business surveilling him in the first place.
We are approaching less than an hour.
Where Tomorrow am I?
Barbara's deadline. When you fail to deliver yourself to her,
she plans to reduce
the rubble and flames. I can't just sit idly by and do nothing.
Nobody is sitting idly by. We're working our asses off here. You and I need to be working together.
We have worked together, and we have known each other for years, James. I consider you a friend. And under normal circumstances, I am not one who would ever doubt your judgment.
But...
You've got the law.
Is there something you've been holding back from me, James?
I love you, and I always have.
I'm a bit gassy.
If what I've heard is true, you have my deepest sympathy.
If you had a concern regarding my health, you should have come to me directly and asked.
I'm asking you now.
Bowel syndrome.
If I thought for one moment that my health risks anyone's life, I would resign this presidency immediately.
He has integrity.
My mistake, Mr. President. Please.
Too bad he has that slimy Tate Donovan.
There's still a chance that we can avoid a full-scale attack. Despite your intervention, Bauer has a line on Al Harazi.
Why are you screwing it all up?
Now, can we count on your cooperation this time?
I personally give you my word that he will have everything he needs.
Thank you. But?
But?
I like that they revealed that Benjamin Bratt is the mole in the CIA.
Oh my God. Yeah, we didn't see that one coming.
And you can't have Michael Wincott in your show without making him a bad guy, can you?
No. You cannot.
He played like this nice, friendly hacker guy. How is that good casting? No, he's no. secretly the bad guy. And how much did you guys love that cool CGI stealth drone going after Jack?
Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard.
It's like, we haven't gotten a lock. One thing I want to know, why do you
Jack
need a
has gone up against a lot of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the drone may have been his most incompetent.
If you fired the missile without a lock, just in the general vicinity, it seems like it would still kill them, wouldn't it?
Right.
Those are some really puny missiles on those.
I like when they're driving by, the daughter who's not sure to turn on her mom, she sees, like, the devastation.
Yeah, they're just blowing up everything.
She blew up a hospital! Your mom is evil! Why do you
not
see this? Oh my
God, they're under a bridge! Wait! Why aren't they coming out for 5 minutes? Oh, wait, there's the car! Blow it up! There's no one in it!
Wait, rewind it. Like, I guess it's got a DVR connected to it.
It was comical. It was drat.
He's got his TiVo hooked up to it. But man, has it been fun.
Oh my God, I had so much fun.
Oh, and I love at the end, basically the president is secretly telling her he's going to sacrifice himself. You can blow me up, just don't attack us. And she's like, I give you my word.
They took his wife and his son and destroyed his hand. Sorry, I'm really into the Rolling Thunder right now.
I haven't even seen that. I don't know what
you've never seen Rolling Thunder?
Nope.
Dude! William Devane kicks so much ass in Rolling Thunder.
I know the video game Rolling Thunder.
No, this is the one where he's the Vietnam vet and he comes back and the assholes move in and kill his wife and his son and beat him up. So he, like, gets together with one of his war buddies and they go after the guys that killed his wife and son and beat him up.
Nice.
Oh, man. Like, it's a classic.
That sounds right up my alley. I like that.
Yeah, you'd love it. And he's fantastic in it. He's full scenery chewing William Devane or Willem Devane or yeah, that guy. It's a Paul Schrader movie.
I love when he says this.
We're working our asses off here.
He's so good.
He's awesome. And, Bill, I wanted to just mention that Defiance comes back finally on the 19th.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to load up the game and see what's been going on.
Defiance. We haven't seen, oh man, what is his name?
Detektor.
I miss him.
Oh, Stockholm.
What is the chick's name on there that I fell in love with? The alien girl. What was her name? What was her name?
Shit.
Bill, you were doing your Ozzy Osbourne for a moment.
Shit, what the hell is her name? Idrissa.
Idrissa. Oh, I can't wait to see my alien girlfriend back.
I can't wait to see Julie Benz. I still...
Chil-chaksa.
Yeah, that's what I... When I think of Defiance, Bill, I think...
Chil-chaksa.
Chil-o-chaksa.
Chil-o-chaksa. Stocko.
Yep, Stocko. I can't wait to get into that Stocko.
God, I love Tony Curran. He's the best part. And when we left, he's now like mayor of Defiance, right?
Well, remember, he's mayor, but then he killed that general, and he's in big
shit,
trouble.
That's right. He couldn't control himself.
Yeah.
And Arissa threw herself into the big glowy mind thing.
FNA,
buddy.
My thoughts exactly. And Bill, the Game of Thrones finale is this Sunday.
It is.
It's
this was the Battle of the Wall or Black or Castle Black, sorry.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome until the Will Wheaton Project ruined it.
That wasn't even funny.
I gotta say this though. I don't want to give any spoilers to the you know, obviously I haven't read any of the books. I've just been enjoying the show, Bill. The Red Viper versus the Mountain, that yes. episode, I had to go on a walk after that episode. I needed a week break from the show after that episode. When it was when that episode was coming up that night, I was like, woohoo, Red Viper versus the Mountain. This is going to kick ass. It was like the Super Bowl, a sporting event.
Wow. And
you're watching it. I was like, I was so into it. I just knew that the guy that I put down all this gold pieces on him too, Bill.
They really made the character more of a character in the show.
Right,
than he was in the books.
They weren't expecting like so many people to love that character, and I did. I was like, that guy, he's awesome, and the way he fought was beautiful, wasn't it? His fighting style.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with that, but the way it was conceived on the show was fantastic.
Yeah, he was like a dancer or something, and I won't even talk about what happens, but it was a tragedy, and screw it. But I will say this, not many shows have me saying out loud, holy shit, like
just
that.
Just the gratuitousness of it. It's if you thought the elevator scene in Drive was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just, and they kept flashing back to it, and it's like, oh, come on.
I haven't seen anything that frightening since this.
Morning teams of red and blue. Jeff Ramsey sent a present for you.
I can't even go through it again, but wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and Silicon Valley was only 8 episodes, but I'd love that show.
Oh, I can't wait till it comes back.
Me too.
That entire mean jerk time thing, and the fact that I was reading on Twitter, Kamal Nanjiani, actually, they got someone like a true scientist, and all that stuff that they did works out, the math.
You know, I've talked about before how one of my favorite forms of humor is a joke that never ends. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most brilliant keeps going jokes ever. I was dying watching that.
Yeah, that's one of those, like it keeps going and then it references itself.
Yes. Like it's just brilliant.
Yeah, that's why I've always loved Eddie Izzard's stand-up, is that's what he does. Like he'll move on to something else,
but then he goes references it again.
Yeah, and it goes right back to it, and it just kind of it's hilarious. It's beautiful.
It really is. And
I love that show so much.
And I've been watching Fargo. There's one episode left. It's a really good show, you guys. It's
I can't wait.
So freaking dark, though.
It's can't got, wait.
It was like really funny and quirky and dark at first. It's like it's just dark now.
Now it's just pitch black.
Yeah, and I'm like, thank God there's only one episode left. I don't think it can take much more of this. But Billy Bob is so frightening on the show. He's so good on that.
I can't wait, because I was waiting for the whole season to go, and then I'm going to binge it.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what you think of it, because it's good stuff.
Good.
It is time to kill or be killed.
Huh? Oh, my God. Oh, and you know, what's funny is Heather and I have been watching this goofy sitcom on NBC. I was talking to Steven about it, called Undateable. It's one of those just burn-off comedies. I think the whole cast, they're all stand-up comedians, I'm thinking. I think I've seen all of them on Conan at one time or another. And it's this group of guys in a bar who they're undateable, you know. And what's that main comedian's name? Chris O-something? I can't remember. I'm just going to make a fool out of myself. But anyway,
Chris D'Elia?
Odelia or something.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, his Twitter... That guy more than, I don't know why, he has the goofiest Twitter. Well, he'll go like, oh my God, you'll never guess who just walked into Starbucks. And he'll be all exclamation points, Al Pacino. And it'll be a picture of just some guy. And it's just the guy with like a goatee. He looks nothing like Al Pacino. But it makes me laugh every time he does it. Like, holy
shit.
My
dad would do that to me when I was a kid. My dad would literally do that to me. Like, he would go, look who just walked in. It's Mr. T. And it's just some old white guy.
Well, Steve and I used to do that. Some guy with a beard. Dude, check it out. Steven Spielberg. Crack each other. But he does that all the time. Oh, my God. Look who's in the Whataburger. David Hasselhoff, and it's just
that's genius.
Guy.
I love but that.
That's Undateable's funny, and it's probably air 6 episodes and be gone forever. But still, you know, NBC does that. But I'm excited about Defiance coming back.
Yeah.
So, Bill, what do you say? You want to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Woohoo! Let's do the news. All right, Bill, what news do we have this week?
We have news. I cannot guarantee you that the dog will not start barking because he is staring at me from the recliner with these eyes like, dude, I'm so going to start barking any second.
He should be relaxed. He's in a recliner.
Well, he's just he's sitting there with this, this dumb look. And it's just like, I know it's going to start any second. So forgive me and him. Okay, let's start out with some positivity this week. The world's oldest cat, Poppy, passed away last week at the elderly age of 24.
Oh, why is that positive?
I don't Oh, Poppy.
Oh, Poppy.
This cat looks like it should have been put down 10 years ago.
Only joking. Pictures.
It's just, I feel bad for it. The cat was recognized as the world's oldest living cat just last month by the Guinness World Records. Poppy's owners, Jack A.
Huh?
It's Jackie and Andy West of Bournemouth, England, chalked up Poppy's longevity to the tried and true method of diet and exercise with a little bit of kebab meat thrown in. She loved her KFC chicken, fish and chips, and even...
Oh, yeah, who doesn't love that KFC?
Yeah. Keeps your arteries clean.
You know it.
All hey, man, right, moving
chicken
on.
Chicken legs, KFC chicken legs.
Pervert. Yes, nice.
Oh, my God. That's a blast from the past.
In pervert news,
and
that has nothing to do with Steven, on Wednesday... A 53-year-old man living in Mihama, Japan, was arrested because he allegedly stole hundreds of uniforms intended for high school girls.
Oh.
Perverts.
Mm-hmm. The Tokyo Reporter, relaying a news item from the Sankei Sports, writes that the Koichi Hirose, a staff member of the Yakayama National College of Technology, is believed to have pilfered approximately 600 gym suits and cheerleading and volleyball uniforms. Wow, I started stealing them in the summer of last year, Mr. Hirose reportedly told officers in the Gifu Prefecture. I did it to wear them.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that guy's one sick bastard.
Yeah, I mean, who wears women's clothes? Well.
Does he wear it or does he just collect it?
No, he said he started collecting them to wear them.
Don't talk to me while I'm in the bathroom, please.
He's alleged to have taken the items from 50 schools in 12 prefectures.
He must have a small frame.
He must. Well, he's Japanese. He's probably, you know, very fit and tiny. I don't. I'm just going to drop it.
Last week, Japanese scientists explained...
I'm just going to drop it.
Yeah, I'm not going there. Source tells The Hollywood Reporter that Harrison Ford, who reprises his role as Han Solo from the original franchise, was injured by the door of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, is that what? Oh.
Yep, the hydraulic door of the Millennium Falcon closed on his ankle. So I guess they're going to shoot around him while he recovers from
the... Was he laying down on the ramp or something? I mean, what was going on?
Maybe is there, like, trying to make an escape or something, and...
Oh!
Yeah, they said it was the hydraulic door, so... Ouch.
Damn.
They're just going to put him in some Bacta and he'll be fine in a couple
Yeah, just put him in a Bacta tank like Luke in ESB, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Did you guys like that, ESB?
ESB. ESB Revisited, coming soon from Adewan, I believe. So
nice.
Looking forward to that. Love the Star Wars Revisited. So
I was like, look at that.
All right, Baltimore. Baltimore police shot and killed a steer that escaped from a city slaughterhouse on a downtown street Friday morning. I guess it just didn't want to give in.
Oh, poor guy.
Yep, the animal was shot shortly after 10:15 a.m. in the Mount Vernon neighborhood. Police confirmed it escaped from the George G. Rupper's Burger. Oh, that's appropriate. Rupper's Burger and Son slaughterhouse in West Baltimore. Police said they received calls from business owners concerned about an animal running loose. The neighborhood is home to numerous bars, restaurants, and shops. This sucker was a big, mean-looking steer, man.
Wow.
This thing was probably like 800 pounds. It's just a vicious, big, mean cow.
Did they really need to shoot it?
Probably not, but they're cops.
Yeah, they're like, let's shoot it.
They probably could have easily... you know, corralled it with some cars or something. And then they could have moved the truck in, loaded it on, taken to the slaughterhouse, and done what they needed to do with it. But no, it's a bunch of gun-trigger-happy asshole cops that got to shoot it.
It seems like it would be
a waste of meat?
Yeah, and also harder to move a big dead husk that weighs like a ton.
Exactly, a giant bloating cow. Sad news. The jazz singer, Little Jimmy Scott, made famous by Twin Peaks, has passed away. You'll remember him from the, I believe, what was that? Was that the finale where he sang Sycamore Trees and the little midgety guy did the crazy dance?
The little midgety guy.
I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, he's midgety.
The little dwarf?
Yeah, the dwarf guy.
It must be a fucking dream. There's a fucking dwarf in it.
Yeah, you know, it's the Red Room. And
Yeah,
well, he passed away.
They talked in backwards.
Yeah, he was the father of falsetto, they called him. And he had the distinct contralto voice. Somewhere? I'm sorry, say again?
He had a child named Falsetto?
No, he had a falsetto. But what really sucks is he had the same disease that, like, Emmanuel Lewis...
Comparison is false.
...had that Kallmann syndrome, where it's the genetic condition that keeps you from reaching puberty.
It's pretty common.
So that it is?
You said it was Kallmann syndrome.
You're an asshole.
Oh, my God.
It still hurts.
It's still
kids like Jar Jar.
He died.
Oh, poor little dude.
No, he was still bigger than the midgety dude from Twin Peaks.
Wait. The dwarf.
The dwarf's alive.
Oh,
the dwarf is alive.
So Deep Roy is still alive.
Stop it! It's not Deep Roy.
But.
What the hell is his name?
Deep Charles.
Deep
I have no
Deep
idea.
Deep 13.
Oh.
Shut up and say yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
So they film MST in his brain.
I'm losing my mind.
let's just move on.
Yes, let's... Okay. All right, this is big news for big dorks like us.
All right.
It was revealed that Destiny, the game from Bungie, the first-person massive multiplayer online game, will run at 1080p and 30 frames per second on Xbox One.
Nice.
Now, this is because... Microsoft had released a new software development kit. Basically, in the life cycle of a console, you release new development kits, which make it easier for programmers to create their games on the system. This new software development kit removes the previous allocation of the graphics processing unit specifically reserved for the Kinect. Now, it turns out the Kinect was taking like anywhere from 10 to 20% of the processing power away from the GPU in the Xbox One.
That's insane.
So that was limiting the ability of developers to have the games run at a full 1080p resolution. So they've released a new software development kit that basically shuts off that reserve.
Right.
So that now the games can run better. And Phil Spencer explained that he thinks about games like Sunset Overdrive that are going to take advantage of the June SDK. They're going to use the increased capability that lowering the reserve will have to actually make a more vibrant and alive gameplay space. So that's where they're going to invest that time. So this is kind of a big deal. Now, what worries me is they're now selling the Xbox sans the Kinect for $100 less, but that's what the PS4 did. You know, you had to buy the camera separately, but we have yet to see anything really use the Kinect properly. And right. I think this new Kinect is really cool. Yeah, and I'm hoping that they develop a game for it.
Right. I mean, it's basically they invented this thing. They made it mandatory that you buy it with the new system. I know they've since, well, okay, we don't need it anymore. Did they not have a plan of what the hell to do with it once they made it?
I honestly don't think they did. I think, you know, they're still trying to figure things out now that the last asshole left, Mattingly or Matt, you know, the guy that basically came up with the whole idea of the always on. He was real snarky and snippy with people.
You've got to be kidding me.
Now we have Phil Spencer running the Xbox team, and he's, you know, he's Bill Compton. But he even said that they wanted to give developers a chance on how much of the Kinect reserve they wanted to leave in the system. So, you know, they know if they know how much they're going to use the Kinect or how much they're not going to use the Kinect, now they have an option. So it has nothing to do with the Kinect being plugged in. In fact, everyone should leave it plugged in, because as soon as the game isn't running anymore, you quit the game, you go back to the Dash, you're going to have all the great Kinect functionality. So you can boot a Kinect game, Kinect continue to work, all that stuff. It has no impact on the game. So I think that's the thing you wanted to know the most was, do you have to unplug it now? No,
Do I have to friggin' unplug it and, like, put it in the closet or something?
No, it just has everything to do with the reserve that is for the Kinect.
Right.
But?
Are there no buts. It's just... And just let's continue with this Xbox thing, because this week they started an advertising campaign with Aaron Paul. Science. Yo.
Yeah, of course. The great Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And Breaking Bad star Aaron Paul is inadvertently controlling users' Xbox One consoles in the new set of TV ads. The commercial featuring Microsoft's Xbox One began airing last week on June 5th, featuring Paul, who highlights a number of the features available on the console. Now, this commercial was really douchey. Like, I mean, it's just, it's super douchey. I just don't believe a second of it, is the problem.
Don't believe that Aaron Paul has an Xbox One?
Well, he might have an Xbox One, but he's not sitting there playing his Xbox One.
He's not like, yo, Titanfall, bitch.
I mean, I guess because I follow him on Instagram, I pretty much know what he's doing.
Whoa!
And not once has he ever gone, Xbox, go to Titanfall.
By the way, okay, I'm turning around right now, Bill, and I'm not kidding. The Xbox is on.
Oh, criminy.
What the hell? It keeps turning on, and that's what the story is. Go ahead and get to that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when he speaks these number of commands for the Xbox One, they're being picked up by the Kinect's voice sensors.
In the commercial, he goes, Xbox, on!
Yeah, in Xbox... play Titanfall. And if you happen to have Titanfall in your Xbox One, it's going to boot up Titanfall.
He's making people
Xbox. Shit, mine just did. Holy shit, that's awesome.
See, I don't have mine hooked up to the TV box where it's like on, but it comes on.
No, it just mine just did, and my TV was on, and it actually asked me if it wanted to go to the HDMI input, and I switched over in Titanfall.
Oh my god!
Was it, somebody was saying that they named their character Xbox off.
There's that's a YouTube funny videos.
Okay.
Where people say, "Damn it, Xbox on or Xbox off," and they're like, "No, no, no, no," because it starts
turns them off in the middle of playing a game,
breaks them out of the game.
God, such an idiot.
And it's so funny because there's a little thing that comes up that says, is it stop listening or something like that? And it's not a command to give. You know, you can't tell your Xbox to stop listening. It's not a command. But people keep going, stop listening, stop listening.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is going on. It says, while the Xbox One responses to the Aaron Paul commercial highlight the complications surrounding its voice command features, it isn't the first time the commands have been creatively used with the console. When players found a way of creating havoc in multiplayer games such as Call of Duty Ghost, you know, they'd set their usernames to Xbox Turn Off, Xbox Sign Out, you know, stuff like that. So, that's what Steven was saying. But yeah, it's just, it is what it is. I remember one time I was listening to, what's the guy that used to do Attack of the Show?
Kevin Pereira.
I was listening to his podcast on my computer, and it was shortly after Xbox One came out, where he was just like, and just to annoy you all, Xbox off, or Xbox on. And it's been going on for a while now.
Yeah.
It's like they have to come up with a better way to trigger the Xbox listening instead of
is it comes on, and I'm not sure why. If I'm did I say Xbox earlier out loud or anything?
I don't know.
But Xbox off. Do you have to okay?
You have to say yes.
Yes. You hunk of shit.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything. It's staying on. But okay. It's not on the input where I can see what's going on there, but
sometimes it's really, you know, it's I equate the whole voice command with the Xbox to be kind of like this generation's clapper.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like when I say Xbox, go to Netflix, or Xbox, go to settings. That's easy.
You are confusing the shit out of your Xbox right now.
There's smoke coming out of it. Shit.
It just grew legs and ran out.
Oh my god, it's become sentient. All right, so moving on. Last story, entertainment. Mary Steenburgers is joining Orange is the New Black.
Mary Steenburgen?
Yes. Clara Clayton from Back to the Future 3. it's been a whole week since all 13 episodes of Orange is the New Black second season premiered on Netflix, so naturally everyone should be done watching. And
no, they're not! I've watched the first episode!
Yeah, I'm 3 episodes in.
What did you say?
I'm savoring it. You know, I don't want to binge it.
First of all, like, Emma is out of school. I'm not going to watch it with her.
I think she would learn many things.
Yeah, it's not the kind of show my daughter should watch. So.
In fact, there's a whole episode that a whole subplot is the women don't know what their vaginas look like. So okay. They're like, it's just, it's hilarious and wrong in so many levels. Yeah, it's just, it's the most ridiculous thing. But there's a lightness to this season, but also a very kind of, there's a strange darkness.
But?
So I'm looking forward to hearing what you think as you go on.
How many episodes have you seen?
3.
Okay.
I'm not that far into it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm not spoiling anything. I'm not saying anything. But anyways, on Twitter... Yeah.
Wait, no. What did you say, Bill?
Okay. I just was... I wasn't... I didn't say anything. Spoilers?
Oh, it's like the Xbox. You just say the word spoilers and that it goes off.
Spoilers off. Stop listening.
Xbox, spoil. Spoiler off.
Stop. And then the spoiler shoots out of it.
God damn it.
Anyways, on Twitter, Mary Steenburgen announced that she will be joining the third season of the show. So,
well, that's interesting because she is supposed to be the heavy on the next season of Justified.
No shit.
Yeah,
that's
introduced
a crazy
her
addition.
As the widow of some drug kingpin on the last season of Justified. So
I didn't even finish Justified this season. It's just it was spinning its wheels so much.
It's not a great season. It was very disappointing. There was some stuff about it. You know what's funny is I've noticed this also. Justified had one of the characters in prison the entire season, and it drove me nuts. But on Game of Thrones, Tyrion is in prison through the entire season.
And it's interesting.
Yeah, we're Heather and I watched a show called Longmire, the Sheriff Longmire. It's a good show on A&E, but yeah. Lou Diamond Phillips is his best friend. Guess where he's at this season? He's in prison.
Oh!
All these freaking subplots with characters in prison.
Just freaking spoiled it.
It drives me nuts.
Seriously?
Exactly.
All right, and that's news for this week. So I hope you all enjoyed it.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news.
But
I enjoyed it.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
What do you say we do some DVDs, Bill?
DVDs.
All right, that's that.
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Woo! The minions of Blanco, is that what they say? Because red versus blue designers today. 1 hour is all you have to design a scrumptious menu before the deadline.
Better find a way to make the chef go wild. It might be time for you to go
right now.
That's actually causing us to lose patrons.
You had a nice crowd laughter there, Bill.
It was appropriate. I liked it. Shut up. All right. I just had to bring this up. Last week's Blu-ray releases, there was an Asylum home entertainment release called...
I said, why would you need to cover these? Didn't I thoroughly go through them?
it just caught my eye, and I was like, this is stupid. Asylum always has to do something, like Age of the Hobbits and stuff like that.
Yeah, they do the mock movies.
Yes. Well, this is Age of Tomorrow instead of Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh.
And I was just like, come on, guys. You're going to go there? You're going to do that? All right, so that's all I really wanted to bring up there. DVDs and Blu-rays for June 17th, 2014. This is a very stark week. Not
DVD
a whole lot going
on. Duplication Pirating Empire. It's not a game!
Yeah, we have the 1994 reimagining, remake, redo of Black Beauty. Hi, Webster? Are you okay? What are you doing? Get out of my face. Sorry. He's getting ready to unleash. Just sit there and shut up. All right, moving on. We have the Grand Budapest Hotel Blu-ray.
Wait. What about the last movie? What was that?
What, Black Beauty?
Yeah.
The remake from 1994. The horse.
Stop it!
Foggy. Yeah, and it has Sean Bean and Alan Cumming. And Sean Bean dies, I'm sure.
Oh,
that's spoiler. Not a spoiler. That's a requirement.
Yeah, it's not a spoiler because it's Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Or is it Sean Bond or Sean Bean?
It's Sean Bean.
He was great in Equilibrium. Gee, I wonder what happens to his character.
Did you ever see Black Death?
No. What happens to his character in that? Oh.
Yeah, he has the Black Death.
It's blueberry pie.
That's a nickname for blueberry pie.
The Black Death?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to that big guy on MasterChef.
It's blueberry pie.
I really honestly thought he was going to keel over in the desert. I know, that's horrible to say.
That is horrible to say.
Coming from a fellow fatty. The next Blu-ray, as I said, the Grand Budapest Hotel, finally. The comedy recounting the adventures of Gustav H., the legendary concierge.
I'm sad I never got to see it.
It was good.
We get to see it next week.
Yeah. Or a video on demand or something. I don't know.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sad that I didn't get to see it in a theater. It almost, you know, to see a big Wes Anderson movie, you know, on the screen and appreciate the artistry of his film. But anyways. All right. Next Blu-ray. An excellent film. I cannot emphasize how good this film is, and shockingly, an incredible performance from Nicolas Cage. It is David Gordon Green's Joe. I got to see this with the director in attendance at the Wexner Center for the Arts.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, a really, really fantastic film with Nicolas Cage and the guy, who's the other guy? Ty Sheridan is the his co-star in it. If you've ever seen David Gordon Green's film Undertow with Josh Lucas and Oh, here we go. Really? Webster! What the hell is wrong with you? Just stop. Yeah, that's what we need. We need more of it, Foggy, please. but yeah, this is like, it's hard to describe. Joe's an ex-convict, kind of befriends a 15-year-old drifter.
Is this a Matthew McConaughey movie?
No, that was okay. Mud.
Oh, okay.
And a different director. But it's just kind of, it's one of those stories of a guy who's had a really screwed up past, and he comes into a situation where it's either do good or run. You know, it's really good. It's all atmosphere. It's one of those movies, the moment I saw it, I went, God damn, I wish I could read Roger Ebert's review. Because I know how much of a fan he is of David Gordon Green's films, especially Undertow. But yeah, it's just, I love this movie. It's really good. And to see it with the director and then hear all the snooty people in the Q&A afterwards was really kind of entertaining.
Well, they're like, how do you get the lighting perfect?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it was. And I don't think Ohio State's really known for their film program, but these people were just hilariously pretentious. And you could see it in the director's face. I mean, this is also the guy who did Your Highness and Pineapple Express.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, David Gordon Green is prolific in... He does his own thing, but he loves to get goofy.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he's good. Oh, he also did Eastbound and Down.
Wow, okay.
Because he did, before the screening of Joe, he showed two episodes that he did of Eastbound and Down. And then there was a Q&A after that also. So, yeah, I mean, he's all over the place. A really excellent director, writer. Next, we have a Lego movie on Blu-ray.
I so regret not being able to see that.
I know. I never saw it either. So I'm looking forward to checking out the 3D Blu-ray Everything is Awesome edition, because I've heard nothing but good about it. Sweet. And of course, you have your Target exclusive, which includes a Meet the Characters book. But I think the regular Everything is Awesome edition has the Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray DVD, and Ultraviolet.
Did you ever see it, Steven?
No.
Ah.
And you know what I've only just recently realized because I've started to use the Ultraviolet stuff, like loading it on the iPad or using the different services they have, is it's always the standard definition edition.
Lame.
Yeah, they don't include, it's not HD, it's not 720p, very rarely is it. Most of them, it's always SD. And I'm like, hey, I'm paying for a Blu-ray. Why do I not have the option of the, you know, the HD download?
Right.
So that's just, I found that mildly irritating.
Has anything that I've just said confused you?
I hope not. We also have a Criterion Collection release of Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Oh, so, that sounds nice. Pleasant.
Yeah, very pleasant.
Some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some parties with Australian girls in the 1900s.
I let my principles get in the way sometimes.
So what, at a hanging rock, do people get hanged?
I don't know, but people do disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Full of beans and spunk.
Yes, full of spunk. Yikes.
Make up your mind.
That means different things in different places. Yeah, that could mean something else also. I'm just going to stop.
Let's move on.
That's wheels off. Fox is re-releasing the Planet of the Apes Blu-ray.
That's
again.
Wheels off.
Oh, good. Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yep. And I believe this is, you know, I think they're starting to build up that, that hype machine for the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Is it Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
On your ass.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to make sure.
Are you excited about it, Bill?
I really am. I am. I've been kind of blown away by the trailers we've seen so far.
Gang raped by a gaggle of silverback apes.
God, I hope that's not in it.
I don't think that ever happens. I don't know
okay,
what
good.
Ari's talking
this
about.
This is, it's different, but it's not that different.
But?
Moving on, we have Walk of Shame on Blu-ray. This is the,
I keep seeing that poster. I guess it's,
this sucker was in and out, man. The Elizabeth Banks film.
Well, it was like, it's one of those kind of, direct to video on demand the same time it was released in theaters type of movies.
Yeah, and she apparently Elizabeth Banks is in kind of trouble because apparently she may have possibly have stolen this idea.
Such a shame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently there was a meeting with someone who had a very similar story or script.
Oh boy.
And then they didn't hear anything from her for a while, and now they see this, and they're like, hey, that's my story.
You and I need to be working together.
I don't know the whole story of this story, apparently. But, I've heard nothing but awfulness about this movie.
So it's like ripping it off, but it sucks anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Off.
So I don't know why
apparently.
The guy, if I was the guy or the woman or the person that wrote it originally, be like, you just
apparently.
I love that you have that drop.
What the f*** are you doing?
And I don't know if you guys are going to do a show next week. I'm going to have to not be here next week.
What the
Sorry.
Hell?
Yeah, I am going to a concert with my sisters.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to a Toad the Wet Sprockets and Counting Crows concert with my sisters on Friday.
I guess count the crows for us while you're there.
I will. A murder of them.
A murder of crows.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. Now I'm sorry that I will not be there again. And that's DVDs for this week.
All right,
but next
Bill.
Week,
wow,
next
what a
week
down note.
Sorry,
I won't
yes,
be
but
here. That's
next week
the
you get to talk about 300 Rise of an Empire.
Oh, nice.
Which you didn't see, did you?
What? No, I didn't. That's another one of those I wanted to see in the theater and never got to see it.
Oh, you didn't get to see Ava Green's boobs on the big screen.
No, I did not.
In 3D. Glorious.
That
was creepy. But
not
yeah.
Not a matter entirely.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
We're working our asses off here.
Thank you. Good night.
Yes, sir.
Here all week, try the veal. And see for you. These presents control each of your fate. You should share them with your fellow teammates.
The minions are blank. Oh, is that what they say? Uh-huh. Because red versus blue design is today. 1 hour is all you have to design a scrumptious menu before the deadline.
Better find a way to make the chef go wild. Or it might be time for you to go like now.
Please accept my apologies.
Yes.
Oh, please. Hey, you know what?
What?
It's not next week that I have the concert.
But
I just had to look at my phone on the calendar. It's the 27th, not the 20th. But? Sorry.
So
it's 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks.
Oh.
So I will be here next weekend.
All right. Woohoo!
All right.
All right. No, it's so easy to amuse our crowd. Okay. Okay, everyone. are you okay back there? Oh, Heather's watching the Stanley Cup Finals, and it's tied 2-2 in overtime.
Is anyone wearing a tutu?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
All right, everyone. That was episode 292 of Entertainment Landfill. We're edging inches closer to episode 300, and we're going to have to plan some kind of awesome 300 show. What do you guys think? Wouldn't that be cool? Some kind of big deal?
I knew it was coming.
Okay, everybody, go do me a favor. Go to patreon.com/landfill and just look at our campaign. Check it out.
Please.
You know, see what it's all about and decide, like, hey, would you like to be a patron of our show? If you would, we would love that. It would be awesome and help us get closer to our first milestone goal. And like we said, when we get that first goal, what are we going to do, Bill? NIMH movie minis of the Star Wars trilogy, the original trilogy, not the prequels.
Yes.
We've actually already done... Did I just hear Heather go, why?
Yeah. Why?
Bill and I have actually done commentaries to the prequels, and I think that's enough damage to our psyches. So, guys, if you want to do that, that would be awesome. We'd appreciate it. And already the support that we've had this week, this first week of Patreon, Bill, has been awesome. We have 19 patrons.
Keep
and
it going.
Let's thank them all this week. I mean, okay. Let's thank them all right now.
Right now.
We have, okay, why does the first name have to be impossible to say? It's Izzy Cerulli Meyer. Thank you. We also have Adam Sexton, who is with us right now in the chat room. Thank you, sir.
Charlie's
cousin. Great feedback on the Lethal Weapon show also.
Yes, fantastic feedback. Also, Carl...
Should we be saying their full names?
I don't know. Well, it's Carl. Yeah. Also, Slade. Yeah. Brandon. Yeah. Nathena. Yeah. Kelly.
Yeah.
Bevan. Paul. Can you hear Heather, Bill?
Yes, I can.
Ross. Who we heard from this week?
We did.
Jean-Francois.
Oh, French Canadian.
Mike. Yay. Mark. Woo. Rob. Yay. Sam. Woo. Swiley. Woo. We love Swiley. Terry. Michael Kiley from Ireland.
Yes.
And Andy Sims. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. If you tell me I can say your last name on the show, let me know, and I will say it next time. Because Bill made me paranoid.
Well, I don't want to, you know, anybody who's a patron can see, my God. But you just never know.
Yes. No, you're right. It's like, whew, close one. I almost did something bad there, Bill.
Phew.
If you would like to, go to etlandfill.com, and you can find links to all of our old shows. Also, check out our shows that we just released, the Lethal Weapon Nim movie mini, the most recent lunchtime show, Bill.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And also, keep an eye out next week. We're going to release that E3 special that all of our patrons have already been able to listen to. But But they're getting something else, Bill.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they are.
Okay.
They may be going back somewhere.
It still hurts.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not painful what you're going to get. It's going to be awesome. Okay?
I'm not going to go there.
Gigawatts!
Whoa! What?
But if you'd like to, leave us a voicemail at 1206-309-4729. It's still working because I call it once a week.
Also, don't leave us in flux.
Or, Bill, send us a voicemail to nimpodcast@gmail.com, which seems to work great now. Seems like everybody's doing that because everyone has the ability on their phone to just record a message and then attach it to an email. It's pretty cool. Steven, you had to try it sometime. Only you're here, so it wouldn't make any sense. But try it anyway.
I guess if I don't show up ever.
Yes.
Huh? For some reason, I can't make
email,
it.
Like, replies to things.
Uh-uh. You don't do that. You don't even write like that.
Yeah, she's right. You don't do that, Steven.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. Great show, Steven and Bill. Woohoo! I want to thank our chat room. What do we got? Who we got in there? We have Zell, Credo, Adam, thank you guys for listening. It's awesome. You guys make it worthwhile when we do the show live on Fridays. And we need to end the show before Heather freaks out if somebody scores a goal, Bill.
I'm hearing it, man.
All right, guys.
I think you guys need to leave the house.
All right, everybody. See you later. Woo!
Bye.
Snap it off. We got to go. Beans and spunk.
Now this is podcasting.
You will not break me.
I was like, look at that.
Guy is such an idiot.
Phew.
You don't do that. You don't even write like that.
Oh my God.
But.
God damn it.
But.
It's blueberry pie.
Another matter entirely.